funny.
So I'm in What?
No, I mean
we're just talking because I'm taking my time before we get to Afghanistan.
Well, yeah, I mean because
when I get there, I know that I'm eating my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating my breakfast of weight loss champions, and I haven't been to the gym all week long because I've been busy. So I made to get down there tonight and do something, but I'm eating my breakfast and I've got my lunch sitting here. And
what's Doc Mason going to say about those ribs?
Do you have to tell everything? Hey,
you ratted on me. I mean, you made fun of my chicken sandwiches.
That was turkey sandwiches in the summertime. What do you want? Who goes to a party on Memorial Day and serves turkey?
Everybody. I guarantee you every graduation party at West Branch had exactly the same menu.
I said it was Memorial Day. I wasn't going to a graduation party. I was going to a birthday party. On Memorial Day.
No.
And you fed me turkey.
And hot dogs. And sloppy joes. We can hear that. Yeah. We can hear that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't me.
Because you yell at me all the time about making noise.
Well, you and Jeff have a little party going on over there. Can you tell I'm getting to the end of my breakfast?
Yeah, we can tell that. We can tell you're getting to the end of your breakfast. See, it's way too early to talk about the released soldier.
No, not yet.
And it's way too early to talk about the EPA.
Not yet.
Because both of those are going to get people all wound up.
I know, that's why I'm got to get my breakfast of diet champions before we get there. Because I had a conversation yesterday.
Is that all natural yogurt?
Mm-hmm. Greek, all natural.
No sugar added?
No sugar added. Stevia.
I'm making, for supper, we bought a Daniel Plan cookbook. I showed you the Daniel Plan thing that we were doing. Well, there's a cookbook to go with that, and we bought that cookbook. So tonight I'm making something I found in there.
What are you making?
I don't know. It's got lentils and beans and split peas. And
this is going to be dangerous. Watch this.
Uh-oh.
440, your mic is on.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Where are you from? Where are you?
City Walk.
Where am I?
Yeah.
I'm traveling around Jogga County.
Okay. Because last night in Cleveland, they were asking me how far do I reach, and I'm like, I think I'm in Geauga, some part of Portage, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah, on a good day, you can hear us over at Mansfield.
Yeah, that's why sometimes I don't stay on the line very long, because sometimes I lose you, so.
I thought you just got mad at me.
Oh, no. No. You'll go in and out of certain places, and I'm not able to hear you or talk to you, so.
So you weren't mad at me?
No. For what?
Okay. I don't know.
Because we disagree, sometimes? That's no reason to get mad. No, that's no reason to get mad. It'd be pretty boring if we all agreed. No,
it would be kind of bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be bad. It's kind of boring, wouldn't it?
Well,
yeah.
You know, if everybody liked Fords, there'd be no reason to make Chevrolets.
They would all be, no, yes it would, because you would have to have a Chevrolet for it when the Ford goes down.
I wanted to comment about the GOP's gig down in Cleveland. I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Why?
Well, let's see. The city is like almost 100% Democrat. Cuyahoga County is like over 90% Democrat. There's too much potential for violent protests. It's just
not
a good idea. Oh, yes.
No.
It's one of the most violent cities in this country. Were you kidding me?
Still,
right now,
no.
We stand at 55 murders.
Can I tell you something? I can make a promise to you. Something happens when people come to town. If you go to Cleveland for the RNC, I promise you during that 7 days that we're there,
mm-hmm.
you won't see one homicide. You will not see. All the statistics will go. It'll flatline like you'll be in Mayberry RFD. That's how I know all of this is a big farce.
I'll
because
bet
when
you
when
that
things,
I'll bet you that the Democratic leaders are going to have plants in there to rile everybody up. I promise you.
No.
I promise you that's going to happen.
You can't get in.
They're so dirty that they'll do anything.
You can't get in. You can't get in.
Don't have to.
You can't get in. No, you can't get in.
Protest outside.
Listen to what I'm saying. You don't realize that when you go to the convention, you can't get within, I'd say, a half of a mile. You don't even drive up. So now let me tell you what's going to happen. All downtown Cleveland, for the most part, where the arenas are, they're going to rope that will fence all of that off completely. You can't even drive to the. I'm telling you, that's what happens. You would be surprised
because
you
want to know why? Because I've been down there numerous times throughout my life.
Okay.
That whole area is full of restaurants and businesses and that. They're not going to stand for that.
Yes, let me tell you why. Because you've got – how many people show up at the convention? You've got 50,000 people that are showing up into one quarantine district. We are bussed in. You're not even allowed to drive to the convention center.
Uh-oh, the bus thing.
You're bussed in.
There's a bus that goes from your hotel to the...
You are, when you go to the convention, you are a part of the convention. You are bussed in. Your restaurants, all of your shopping is done there. You cannot drive to the convention, so don't get any bright ideas, or you will walk a very long country mile.
I understand what you're saying, but I think there's a potential for trouble. But
we're going to have our share of protesters. That's going to happen, but they're usually outside. Remember? When they said that somebody hit the girl upside the head with the banana.
It's going to be bad.
Nah. It's going to be a great time. And it's going to be very, very beneficial to Cleveland and the state of Ohio.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how Frank Jackson puts himself out front there for this, since he's a Democrat.
He did. He was with us all night long last night. He was there all day yesterday. He was there. He'll be there all afternoon today, and he was there the day before. So
he's there, but in what kind of spirit? Do you know what I'm saying? He's not going to
you got to understand. You got to understand. Yeah, this is getting 50,000 people spending money in Cleveland.
This is business.
It has nothing to do whether it's Democrat or Republican. This is dollars, and this is green, not red or blue.
I understand that, but I mean that's not going to look too good for him if he's all rah rah trying to get the convention there. People don't understand. I mean, people on a basic level, they're not going to understand that.
Oh, I think it doesn't take much of a politician to articulate 50,000 tourists and the economic impact. That's a green issue. That's not a red or blue issue. So I don't think you're going to find a single politician on either side of the aisle that. And if it was the Democrats, you'd have them wanting to come into town. You'd have Republicans doing the exact same thing because it's about money. Because it's going to be somewhere. Why not here?
Yeah, I agree with that. That part I do agree. We need it. That's for sure.
You know, I mean, I'm sure the casinos will like it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you'll
be able to get out and get around to there, but when you come in, they quarantine. You're really quarantined off at that convention center. I don't know how they're going to do that. It'll be interesting to watch the logistics of that with the Jake. I'm sorry, not the Jake, but the Progressive Field. But I will say this: the Indians.
They may just move the Indians out.
Well, they won't move
out of town that week.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
No, they won't do that.
Why not?
They'll just schedule them away games that week.
But I don't know. It would be really nice.
It's only, what, 4 days, right?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I stayed there a long time. I hope that it is. I hope they have a game. That would be nicer for all of us to be able to go to the game at the Progressive Field to watch the Indians play.
You mean you guys don't go
during the convention?
Huh? Oh, I forgot. You're a Pittsburgh fan.
I became I got an announcement to make. I became a Cleveland Browns fan until after 2016. Because last night the Browns were there and I was cheering for the Browns. Absolutely.
Fairweather fan you are.
No, I'm not a Fairweather fan. I didn't drop the Steelers. I just picked up the Browns.
Oh, okay.
And I picked
you
up the Browns.
You just like the Steelers coach is what it is. You're bad.
That is
you
that's
talk
true.
About me being bad. You're bad.
That's true.
That's right. I know.
That's
true. I know what the deal is.
That's
yeah.
true. But I last night I picked up the I became a Browns fan. It was just overnight. Like I looked up there and said, "Cleveland rocks." I'm a Browns fan. So I'm going to get me a Browns jersey and everything.
Well,
it's over the top, isn't it?
When Bush on the back. When Bush put on the back.
Absolutely.
You know, Tracy, if you go to a baseball game there, you'll like the baseball game. It's very very nice stadium to watch a game.
Oh, I'm an Indians fan. I go to the games. I do.
No,
I do
mean,
baseball.
The stadium itself is very, very nice to watch a game.
I know.
It's
they have good
nice.
Food.
Yep.
They have good food.
That too. It's expensive.
No. Because not if you go and pay for the floor where you get all you can eat. It's very cheap.
Yeah.
You buy a ticket at a certain rate. Hey, good morning, Eric. And you it's all you can eat, and it's really nice.
So if they kill the Redskins, is Chief Wahoo gone?
Chief Wahoo's gone. I was telling them last night, I got to get me an Indian cap with Chief Wahoo on it because they're going to kill him before too long.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Cool.
That's what I was going to say. If the convention shows up, if the liberals are going to protest and they're going to point their eyes on Chief Wahoo, he's going to have to go.
Oh, Chief Wahoo's going to go. He's going to go in the next year or so. Redskins are going down. That hockey team who has the red people on it, they're going down. All that's going away. So if you are anything like me, I'm a collector of memorabilia and sports stuff. Mm-hmm. Get yours.
Oh yeah.
Now.
I bet you a Bucktooth Chief Wahoo hat's worth money.
Oh, gee, I'm gonna get me a Chief Wahoo hat.
He doesn't have buck teeth anymore, right?
No, they took that off.
I mean, the real
the real Wahoo was a Wahoo.
Yeah. He had, yeah.
831, your mic is on. Hello? Is that Bonnie?
Oh, yes, it is me. 831. Yes, did
you're
you say 831?
Good morning.
Well, you know what? I'm hard of hearing. I'm old. You have to. Yeah, I was listening to you guys. Thinking I better call in since this is hump day, you know. Lord knows, something's got to be going on.
There's a lot going on.
So, okay.
I'm trying to bring the I want everybody to support. They ought to write letters. Tell them you heard it on WSOM. Write letters to the RNC and say bring it to Cleveland.
That's Chief Wahoo.
Oh, that's Chief Wahoo. No, they changed.
They got rid of him.
Yeah, that one's gone. He's been gone. Now, that one's worth a lot of money if you can find that. If you can find him, the first Chief Wahoo, that Chief Wahoo's got some cash in his back. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The trial against the Youngstown Company in the Mahoning River illegal dumping case is expected to start later this month. A U.S. District Court judge has ordered Hard Rock Excavating to hire an attorney by June 13th. So far, three men have been convicted for dumping thousands of gallons of drilling waste into a Mahoning River tributary. The owner of the excavating company is accused of ordering employees to pour the chemicals into sewers near the company's site. The city of Youngstown has given the green light to build an apartment complex designed to help people with substance abuse and mental health disorders. The 40-unit complex will go up on Madison and Covington. Construction is expected to start next year, and the building should be ready to open in 2016. Okay. And the man serving time in prison already for his role in a Youngstown shooting pleaded the fifth while called to testify against the triggerman in a death penalty case. Officials say 29-year-old Kevin Aggie was driving a car when fatal shots were fired, killing a 74-year-old man in 2010. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Yeah. Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just $149.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices BESSRP and participating dealers.
Visit Elder Ag and Turf Equipment Company on State Route 14 in East Palestine. 330-426-2166. Online at elderequipment.com.
Hi, I'm Barry Sanders. Scleroderma is a horrible disease that ravages the lives of its victims and their families. I know firsthand because it ended the life of my sister Nancy at the age of 26. I still think about her often, and I wish that more research were being done to end the suffering from this disease. Don't just stand on the sideline. Please get involved and help us to win the fight to cure scleroderma.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
You're Mr. Runkle?
Yes, sir.
Two charges, assault and resisting. You have the public defender. Public defender, what do you want to do?
Have they fought?
They have.
I'm not waiving.
All right. What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? I'm not waiting. If you want to set up for trial, set up for trial.
All right.
If you want to set up for docket signing, set up for docket signing. I'm not waiting in any case. This is an
you know,
emergency.
If I had a rock, I would throw it at you right now.
You know, this is
stop pissing me off. Just sit down. I'll take care of it. I don't need your help.
No,
sit
you know what? I'm the public defender. I have a right to be here, and I have a right to stand
I said,
and represent
sit down.
My clients.
If you want to fight, let's go out back, and I'll just beat
let's go
your
out.
So does anybody know, when do you get to beat the judge up? When does the judge get to cuss everybody out in the courtroom?
I don't know.
When do you get to
they
go take
said,
it outside?
They said the judge is on a leave of absence.
He's on a leave of absence.
And maybe they're out of
why
something.
Why
did
the judge on a leave of absence?
Judge
maybe
actually
they're out
hit
of something.
They took it outside. They took it outside. And the judge
they
actually,
did.
They did, and the judge actually hit the public defender. Or prosecutor.
Public defender.
Public defender, yeah. Yeah, he actually,
maybe
hit,
we're
him,
on
he
something.
Actually hit him in the head.
How about the defense attorney and the prosecutor just fight?
Can you tell me what was the deal? What?
I don't know what started it.
Maybe they knew each other. It started, you know, it was a personal thing that just came up to the public. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I had to play that because it was like, are you kidding me? So, Eric, what's new in your world?
Nothing new. It's a little cloudy out here.
A little cloudy? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm up here in Warren. We got clouds.
Is it always cloudy in Warren?
Yeah.
I mean, that's closer to Ravenna. That's why the Arsenal's there.
Maybe they're onto something there. Well, why don't we just let the prosecutor and the defense attorney just fight? And whoever wins, if the prosecutor wins, you're guilty. If the defense attorney wins, you're not guilty.
I always said that's the way they ought to fight wars. Heck with getting a bunch of young guys killed. We'll just take the leader of each country and put them in a ring and let them beat each other to death. Whoever wins, wins the war. Look at all the money you've saved.
Unbelievable.
You know, Sticks, you could probably get rid of whatever national debt any of the countries have because you could sell tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that would just generate so much income. I can't believe someone else hasn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just think what the pay-per-view on something like that would be. You know, Barack
right.
Obama versus Vladimir Putin.
On Christmas Day. Let's have it on Christmas Day like on Rocky IV.
Yeah,
and
guess
what? And you know what will happen? We will actually all watch it.
Oh yeah.
I'm taking my time, Eric, because I gotta get to what's going the Middle East. I gotta get to this little the five prisoners for the one little man, and then somebody telling me that we pick it on President Obama because he's black.
Wow.
Yeah. I just sat there with my jaws open and said, "You're really kidding me, right?" Erica, do you have a TV on in the background?
No, that's across the street. There's school buses are backing up.
I think we're getting back feed off of somebody's radio because I can hear you.
That's Eric.
Not me. I don't have a radio.
Yeah, I'm outside. I'm in the garage. I don't have a radio on.
Yeah. What kind of phone do you have?
It's an AT&T.
That's what's wrong.
It's a dumb phone. It's not a smartphone. It's a dumb phone.
You got an Obama phone?
They told me I make too much.
Oh, you don't have an Obama phone. So what else is going on? What else is going on? Bonnie, what's going on in your world? What's new with you?
Back, move back.
Hey, Bonnie, did you hear the county sheriff got a tank?
I seen it in the paper. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. They all had their photographs taken around it. How silly.
Well, what are they going to do with
silly.
It?
That's exactly what I don't know, haul trash or something. What do you think?
Well, I said they needed it to perform SWAT raids on all those Amish men selling raw milk.
Well, Jeff said it's to make sure that I don't come down to Columbiana County anymore.
Well, it was Saturday. We were at a Boy Scout ceremony, and we were going over to Homeworth, which is your area, down by where you are sticking.
Mm-hmm.
There was a SWAT team out.
Really?
I'm like, what in the world are these guys doing over here? Black trucks say SWAT right on the side. And I'm thinking, what do they need those? I mean, there's, you know, what are they going to do? You know, separate fighting bulls or what, you know? There's no trouble over there. I mean, once in a while there's some trouble, but most people can take care of it.
There's certain parts of the county we got meth lab problems.
Not for that.
That's true.
That tank will not save you.
No.
Unless everybody in the neighborhood gets in it, maybe.
You mean a blowing up meth lab.
Well, you can... but if it's blowing up, then
the problem's solved. The people inside, you don't got to worry about.
I think we need to stop giving them attention. I think those meth labs, we need to stop giving them attention.
Oh, you got to give them attention.
Well,
they're bad.
Yeah,
degree, we need to stop giving them attention.
They're bad. You got to give them attention.
Yeah.
They're bad.
We got a heroin problem in Columbiana County too.
Well, that's all over
the
state.
It's heroin. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
The drug problem, the heroin and meth, it's really bad in suburban and rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really bad. And you've got to give it attention because if you don't, young people will fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say the smoking weed is not a good thing.
Well,
I
think it's a gateway. Did you say Bonnie?
I don't think it's going to change anything for those of us who don't do drugs. It won't change anything for us.
But
it'll change
the
who?
People that choose, the people who choose to do drugs, get drunk, do the behaviors. That's going to cause some trouble.
It's my understanding that especially methamphetamine, if you a significant number of people that use it one time are addicted to it. So if you can get a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid to try it just once, I double-dog dare you.
Yeah.
And
Now
you've just destroyed somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, then with the minors, I think you're onto something there. But I'm saying someone who's 21, 22, 33, 45, 47, 50, you know, because we see the paper all the time. It's those age group of people lots of times. you know, the OVI is 47 years old. Really?
But
if you're 47
Listen. People go through some bad things. And,
they
get caught up.
They do.
And they get caught up with some bad people.
Yep.
And
yep,
and
they do.
You can, I mean, but by God's grace, there go a lot of us.
Yes.
That you
mm-hmm.
think that, well, it couldn't be me. It couldn't be my child. But it only takes one hit.
There was a guy. There was a guy that worked with a friend of mine, 50 years old, and somebody talked him into taking a hit of crack. And within like 2 years, he'd blown through all their. He was divorced. Blown through their whole life savings.
Yes.
And he said
yes.
Once he took the first hit, he just couldn't put it down.
I mean, it
mm-hmm.
we think that it you know it's a little bit of, but it's bad.
Well, you know,
I mean,
what we're doing, though, we're really raising a society of addictions, not just drugs. We're talking sugar, cell phones, TV.
Absolutely.
I mean, gambling. I mean, we're raising. We have to call out what it really is. We're raising a society of addicts.
But has anything changed? I mean, have you looked at the alcohol consumption statistics from the 1700s and 1800s?
The difference is alcohol sleeps off. And even in alcoholics, I mean, there's a major difference between drinking and heavy and drug use. I mean, major difference.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it's okay to drink because that's not what I'm saying. But the addiction level and the people who are alcoholics don't go out and still get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. They just steal from family and friends.
I
had an uncle, my mother's brother.
But even in their theft, you don't see them. You don't see them really. I mean, you have people who are addicted to drugs out there that will go sell their soul
mm-hmm.
for a hit. I mean, can you imagine a young lady who will prostitute herself? Not for money, but for just a high.
Well, what about, I mean, there's been examples of people, women prostituting their children.
But not for...
For drugs.
For drugs, but not for alcohol. I mean, alcoholics, there's a difference between alcoholism and drug addiction and heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your point of reference, your compass, your moral compass is go straight in the crapper. I mean, it's bad.
So if
you'll do any you'll put a knife to your baby's neck for another shot.
So if heroin was legal and available and cheap, you think we could?
It wouldn't be cheap.
We couldn't have.
It wouldn't be cheap.
There wouldn't be functional heroin addicts.
Oh, you can't function. That's just you can't do that. There's no function to that. That's why I don't understand this whole conversation about let's legalize the drugs.
Well, the thing that's I mean, from my libertarian perspective, I would be perfectly happy with legalizing drugs, but if the society is willing to trip over the bodies. But society is not willing to trip over the bodies.
We're having a major problem in Colorado with the legalization
mm-hmm.
of drugs there.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to talk to that issue.
Oh, yeah. They're opening up rehab centers for marijuana addiction right and left.
And the thing is, the marijuana, it's a gateway. Normal people just don't walk out in a clear conscience and say, go ahead and shoot me up with heroin. I've never seen that happen. I'm going to take a break. Everybody that's online, I'm going to pull you up. Covina, man, I'm going to pull you up after I get back on my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford F-150 offers maximum payload and outstanding towing capacity. Now only $289 a month. See your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer or visit driveoneohio.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing.
I hear somebody in the background. I hear somebody here. Somebody here?
Kavita Man, this is Bonnie. How are you doing? I recognize your voice.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I think Eric was still on there. I don't know if he's still there.
Hello, yeah, I'm here. I didn't know she had the mic open. Sorry about that.
Oh, I wasn't sure either, but then I heard a voice that I recognized, so, yeah. What's happening on your side of town, Kavita Man? What's going on on your side?
I'm in California. It's pretty peaceful.
Are you at work right now, or?
No, I'll probably head out to work in about an hour.
Oh, okay. So you can only be with us for about an hour, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing new out there. We were talking about locally. Some armored trucks have been purchased. Have you seen anything like that where you are?
I think we may have been a test subject of armored vehicles out here in California, because back in the crack era, they had a lot of armored vehicles that would go around and bust in houses and stuff.
And you think that's what they were used for? That's why they were purchased?
At the time, that's what they were. They were called the batter ram. They had a name for it, and it would be on TV, and they would show them driving into houses and
really?
The thing we're talking about, though, is out here in Ohio, a lot of small rural towns where there's a very low crime rate are buying these things. They're buying them like hotcakes. It's just crazy.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And there's, I mean, you know, we still leave our doors unlocked out here. Oh, well, you know, where we are, I mean, you don't do silly things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can leave your garage doors up and mow your grass, and, you know, you can be a couple acres away, and no one bothers you, you know? It just seems strange that trucks are being purchased.
And these things cost $250,000 to build, and they're getting them for like $6,000.
Oh, yeah, that's a good bargain. Can anybody buy them?
What did you say?
Can anybody buy them? I'd like to get me my hands on one.
Well,
toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, and I don't care, baby, by the way.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It's an open mic today, and I was taking it for the first hour. I wanted to eat my breakfast. I wanted to have a good day, because yesterday was just too off the chain. I was just stressed out. Diva hung up on people. Jeff was in off gear, and it was just bad. So I wanted to have a decent morning this morning. So now that I'm better, I had my breakfast, we've laughed a little bit, and so now I can let Covina Man in. Good morning, Covina Man. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Doing a break here. Is that Bonnie who's on the phone? I forgot.
Who's the
lady on the phone that was
Bonnie.
Talking during the break? Okay, Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Yeah, she was talking about the armored vehicles, and I was trying to see if I could get me one. If they're going away for cheap, I'd like to get me one. I'm looking for a vehicle right now. I'm gonna have to look that up. I wouldn't mind having one, but I think that there's something going on in the society where they really want to work on preventing terrorism. The government is set up programs where a certain part of the government is responsible for food, another part is responsible for water, and so on and so forth in event of terrorism or some type of national emergency. And I think that the vehicle program is probably one of those where they're getting capable vehicles for any type of social collapse or something, and they're getting them in the hands of, like, the regional police departments and stuff.
Kavina, man. It's not regional. Everybody's got one.
No, that's
everybody
in the
city.
I understand. They're giving it to different police, departments just in case of local emergencies, because if something were to happen, let's say, like, a Bundy Ranch area happened there in your area, they're not going to call the United States Marines to come out and try to squelch it. They'll use the local police. And the police has to have some way of dealing with, these armed resistance that people are is coming into society right now.
Well, I know our sheriff in Columbiana County, and I can tell you right now, a Bundy Ranch situation in Columbiana County, the sheriff's going to be standing with Mr. Bundy.
But can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question, Covina Man?
Yes, ma'am.
On the detainees, and the that were from Gitmo,
yeah,
and from what's happening in Washington. What's your take on all this?
I thought I said yesterday. I thought I was enjoying the conversation of how riled up the right wing gets at any.
No, my question. What's your take?
Oh, I don't really have a personal take on it. I mean, the war is going to end, and I think we have to return all their prisoners of war, and they have to return ours. And I think we only had one. I don't know how many prisoners of war we have of theirs. So I think at the end of the war, you have to return them anyway. And the war is going to end this year and next year.
So you think it was okay to do?
I think isn't that the law? They have to return a prisoner of war. You can't keep prisoners of war after the war is over.
They did it to Vietnam.
They did to Vietnam. They kept them.
No. I mean, they kept several Germans in jail after the war for war crimes.
Oh, for war crimes. Yeah, that's something different. Yeah.
So this young man
defected. So my question is, do you think that they should have let these top-level people from the Taliban go for this one gentleman? Do you think that was a good deal?
It's the law, isn't it? It's not the law. It's supposed to come back when the war is over. That's
no.
But the war isn't over yet.
I said it would be an international war crime if we kept their prisoners. We invaded their country. They didn't invade ours. We invaded their country, took their citizens, and put them in jail, and then... when the war is over, you're supposed to return them. That would be a war crime if you kept those prisoners. That would be kidnapping. You're just going to this country and take their people.
Do you think the way that President Obama handled it was okay?
I don't have a problem with that. Why would I have a problem with that?
Just checking. Hey, Alabama. Good morning.
What's going on?
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm up here chilling, working at the house again. But I got a situation.
Yeah.
This last post I made of this female beating this guy up, you really want to check it out. If you're gonna date a woman, make sure she can't take you in a fight.
And is that the one with the girl with the long braids and a kind of skinny light skinned dude?
No, it was at a gas station. And the girl, she heavy set black chick, started fighting. She fighting them, breasts pop out. So some kind of way the dude tried to kick her and turned his back. Oh, man, she put them ha-has on him hard. Like she was just going all upside his head. Then she dragged him, dress come off. She cussing it the whole time. She got butt booty naked, kept fighting, took the dress, strapped it over her shoulder, and kept walking.
That's gross.
And looking at the dude. Then other dude, the other homeboy tried to help, can't pick this other chick up. These chicks is well over 200 pounds. Picked her up, he fell. The other chick stumped him out.
Yeah, man. Women are getting, you know, it's something in the food. They're getting 200 plus pounds. They ain't women. That's wildebeest or something, man. How you gonna have sex and then try to fight somebody like that?
Hold it. Did you just call me a wildebeest?
We're not talking about you, Tracy. I mean, we're not talking about you. What you tall, ain't you, Tracy? Ain't you tall?
I'm tall, but I think you just called me a wildebeest.
Okay, well, you ain't. No, Tracy, that don't count for you because you're tall. It's different. But when you're 5'6", 240, like you can play linebacker in the NFL.
Alabama, you come after me, you're going to feel. He called me a wildebeest because I'm going to fight, too. I told y'all the last person that beat me was my mama. And the only reason why she didn't get beat down because she was my mama. The next beating I get, they're going to get her beaten.
I've seen some girls. I went to high school with some girls that will get with dudes. In high school. I ain't talking about elementary school. I'm talking about high school. They will get with you toe-to-toe. Like, I done seen it. So.
Hey, Tracy.
Hold on, Alabama.
I think I have a new idea
okay.
For a reality show. Okay. I think you need some armored cars and some women over 200 pounds and put them in camo and make them like, you know, like I don't know. What's the show where the guy is the dog? Is he called the dog? He's the guy that goes in and solves problems.
Oh, the dog
That's
whisperer.
What we needed. Is he called the dog? He's got the long
dog
hair.
Whisperer.
And he's,
oh, no, you're yeah. talking about the guy that's dressed up in the dog suit.
No, he's got a big wife that's blonde, and he goes in with like kind of with tasers and gas guns and, you know, I think they're in Hawaii.
You know what? You
talk about
it.
I think they're in Hawaii.
I think she's talking about the bounty hunter.
Dog the bounty hunter.
Dog, yeah.
The bounty hunter. That's it. But that's what we need to do. We need to, you know, put some people in these armored cars and, you know, Alabama. I mean, it sounds like, you know, a lot of people were watching that. So let's put it on a reality show and make some money over somebody else's silliness.
There's certain parts of the hood you can go to and
throwing that dress over her shoulder and keep on walking, that would be absolutely hilarious. I mean,
the dude that was holding the camera, the guy that was holding the camera was like, hey, this is in the hood, in the news, this is in the hood every day. Like,
what happened to
National, about,
you know, like Wild Kingdom? You know, what happened to Wild Kingdom?
Everybody watched
animals instead of human beings.
But the thing is, something's going on with the guys. No. The guys are very feminine now. They don't know how to fight, and women are able to just slap them down like they're somebody's mama. I think for some reason that's a fetish for some people. They like women that remind them they mama, their big old house mama, and the women like the little kids.
If you're going to fight these women, you
Alabama, don't cut across him like that. Go ahead and finish Covina, man.
No, he's right on it. Go ahead.
I was just saying, if you're going to fight one of these women, you better square up and swing hard and be ready because they coming with it.
Yeah,
I saw one on a bus, the chick whooped this dude. It was just crazy. Like, just,
you guys,
why that dude with that civil rights punch, the uppercut, on that bus and threw off the bus, that's how you got to fight them.
Listen, guys, hold on. This ain't the break. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy.
Good morning, Mr. Dover.
How are we doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. What do you think about what happened in Washington, D.C. with the five detainees and Bergdahl?
I think every American should be calling for the impeachment of Obama and Biden and do it real quick. He's now importing 60,000 illegal teens from South America and putting them on military bases and spending $1.5 billion to feed and clothe them, along with all the other scandals that you know about, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, IRS, surveillance of all Americans, and releasing of these five Taliban. And then we've got Hillary and Obama saying, no man left behind, and getting Sergeant Burton dog back, and he is murdered. And what about the military personnel left behind at Benghazi? And another thing that's going on is the American Spring. It started May the 16th by Colonel Riley. I've not heard any reports on it, but they were to go to Washington, D.C., millions of them. I heard 9.5 million or something like that, but I have heard no reports on it since. But the American Spring started May the 16th by Colonel Riley, and everybody is showing up to impeach Obama, Biden, Pelosi, Reid, Boehner, and I think we all better get there and start the impeachment proceedings against all these traitors people that's in Washington, D.C. And that's my opinion.
Okay. Just wanted to check.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Pionki, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
And what's the local color of the state on?
Topic all over the place. But no, I don't see anything wrong with them swapping prisoners myself. I don't know why they continue to hold these guys there in the Gitmo anyway.
So you don't see anything wrong with the swapping of high-level executive cabinet detainees who are going to go back and pick up where they left off to come back and blow up your behind?
Tracy, who's to say? I mean, why come the U.S. didn't think about that when they helped create the Taliban and Al-Qaeda?
Because they didn't think it was going to boomerang.
Well, I mean, there's books in the library they could have referred to tell them that.
No, they didn't. It's, you know, we have this syndrome that we don't think it can happen to us. It's just America. We think we're bad, and it's here. I mean, that's where I see this. I mean, the policies of America are swelling up and coming back to bite us in the butt.
Yeah, it's going to get worse when people go to collect their Medicare, Social Security, and prescription drug benefits that they've paid for.
And
his money's not there.
To provide it. I mean, that's the problem. You and I know that agree on this, Bianchi. That's the problem with all these government programs. When they had a glut of money, they had no way to save it, so they put it in bonds and then spent it to be paid for with future tax revenue. So what do you do when 60% of the population has got their hand out for something they paid into? Where is the tax revenue going to come from to make those payments?
I think that's a political issue rather than an economic issue, because the money is there. It's just a question of whether or not people want to shut down the government or pay the bills. That's what it's come down to.
Covina man, where is the money?
Where is $127
trillion
at, Covina man?
It's here in the economy. But don't you remember?
$127 trillion could be.
Yeah, way more than that. $127 trillion, you said?
That's like half the world's wealth.
That's the unfunded liabilities the United States of America has right now when you throw in Medicare, Social Security, and
prescription drugs.
Hold up. Our budget is only $2 or $3 trillion right now. How the heck is it $17 million? Where's that coming from? Oh, no, 100-something trillion. Where's that coming from?
Medicare.
That's what's been promised. Go ahead.
Medicare, Social Security, and prescription drugs that people have paid for.
Hold on. But the bills are come through monthly, right? Bills come through monthly in a yearly budget. You might be accumulating 50 years of stuff, but that the money comes in monthly. You get a monthly check. You get a monthly subscription drugs. You can't add up 20 years of drugs and just say this is what's due right now. That's not how it works.
Well, right now, we don't have a budget.
We do have a budget. What are you talking about?
No, we don't. We haven't had a budget. We haven't had a budget in 6 years. They haven't done a budget in 6 years. But Covina man, when Social Security started out, there was 12 people paying in for every person receiving. It's just about to hit 2-for-1. And they took all of that money when there was 12 paying in
and spent it.
They bought bonds with it, which is a debt instrument, and then they took the money and spent it, and the bond has to be paid back out of current tax revenue.
Right, that's what I say. It's a political problem. It's not an
economic problem. It's an economic problem.
It is not.
Because what you have, hold on, let me finish, and then I'll let you speak.
Right.
Okay, what you have is you have a guy that's 65 years old, and he's paid in 15% of his income his whole life into Social Security. The government has spent that money, so there's $0 laying in his savings account. And so now they have to take what he's supposed to get for a benefit out of somebody's wages that's working. That works just fine when you've got 12 people working for every one person you've got getting a Social Security check. But when you have to take $1,000 a month from two different people in order to send this guy a $2,000 a month Social Security check, the math no longer works anymore.
Okay, now let me clarify this for you. What you have is workers paying Social Security, right? That is the way the system is working. Our system has changed. We no longer have people making money through working. We have people making money money is making money. They're not doing anything. The money is in the trillions of dollars is in investment, and they're not being taxed for Social Security. So what you have is people who no longer work, they just get income through investment. That's where the money is. That's the crux where the money is. You got to tap into where you got to tap into where the money is to pay the bills. The bills are due. The bills are due because the crooks have them in treasuries or whatever. That's, the money is there. It's just not in the hands of the workers.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I hope you're having a good afternoon and a good day today. Look, the sun is shining, and it's a good day. Can't help but people just don't understand what's going on, but we'll be back, and we'll try to explain it. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Safe Auto gets it. Life doesn't stop. That's why they're here 24/7.
And these Republicans are just... I don't know what to say. It don't make any sense.
Convener, man, the Office of Management and Budget shows the unfunded liability.
And
they describe it nowhere in the essence of what you just described. So I think you need to check with, argue with them on that.
Look. The thing is, we get you just gave me the money. How much
you ever done? Have you ever done a net worth? Have you ever done a net worth on yourself?
You're changing the subject.
No, I'm
okay. Yes.
You done a net worth on yourself? Yes. Don't you have a line? When I had them done, I have a line item called unfunded liabilities.
Okay, I don't have any unfunded liabilities.
Just like, for instance, your property taxes. Here you are in the middle. Here it is, June, and at the end of this year, you got to pay a property tax. It's a liability that, when you send in your mortgage payment, they take a portion of it out and set it aside to pay those taxes at the end of the year. That's funding the liability that's due. Well, after you pay your mortgage completely off, the bank don't do it. It's not required to withhold that money. You have to come out of your pocket at the end of the year and pay that liability. If you don't have the money to pay it, then it's unfunded. The liability still exists. It don't go away. You ever know them to say, well, Mr. Convener, man, since you don't have, here it is, December the 30th, and since you don't have the money to pay your real estate taxes, we just going to forgive it January the 1st.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, if you Democrats can't understand that, I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's not even that we can't understand it. What you just said is as if somebody's that slow that they can't pay their property tax. You're just assuming that somebody's so slow they don't know, oh, I got to pay the property tax. I got to set aside X amount of money.
Covina, man, are you saying that we're political? Hold on, Bianchi. Are you saying that we're politically, financially solvent? We have all, so Social Security is not in trouble.
Social Security is not in trouble.
That's incorrect. Social Security is the easiest fix out there. First of all, you got to remember how Social Security evolved. It was never intended to be what it's become. The retirement age to collect full Social Security benefits was age 62. In 1939, the life expectancy here in the United States was 62. So if you collected it, you were just fortunate. But most of the people, or the average number of people, fell below that and didn't collect. It was another tax. But now that it's become what it is, you have two options to fix. One is either raise the cap or eliminate the cap. Some people don't know. This year, if you made $110,000, all $110,000 is taxed for Social Security purposes. If you made $210,000, $100,000 of that $210,000 is not taxed for Social Security, because there's a cap.
Correct.
Well, we understand that, but the if it's not what it was intended to be, why come you continue to collect money from people as you did when it came into existence?
Well, Six talked about it back, actually, and I think he was incorrect on his figures. When it first came out, there was 33 people paying for every one person collecting, and it's almost 2-1 now. And you just, They never, there's a couple things.
Regardless, they still owe people money.
But where are
just
you
like
get
I gave
it?
Him.
Where are you going to get it?
That's why they have a line item called unfunded liabilities over $127 trillion.
Yeah, and it's true. That's a true accounting purpose. That's how businesses operate. Government doesn't operate like that because they keep wanting to hide it because they don't want to tell you the truth.
Okay,
they
want to
tell you what you want to hear.
The other line items on there people go along with, why do we pick some and want to dismiss others?
What happened to all the surplus for all those years? They went into the Treasury. No, I'm just saying.
They went into bonds. That's what happened.
Right,
to
into
it.
The bonds. So somebody owes those bonds. So those bonds are being repaid, and then that adds to the money.
Tracy and Friends, WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. How do you have one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas?
Got to hear the song.
What did he say?
Take my license, all that jive, because I can't drive. Remember the old days?
Who drives 55 miles an hour now? Hey, listen, did you guys hear what it was? A teenager, she was 18 years old, and she beat the number one tennis champion. And the young lady's name is Taylor Townsend. And she beat the number one ranked French player. And they said that she was too big, she was too heavy to play tennis.
What?
Because she was 170 pounds. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. You're on WSOM AM 600. And we are here, and we're glad to have you there. We want to hear from you today. It's going to be an open mic tomorrow. Mark Mangi and I will be together, and who knows what we're going to talk about.
Did you hear about the mass shooting in Chicago last night?
No, but I heard they're killing people in Chicago like it's a business.
Last night, 6 people, including 2 teenagers, 14 and 16, were shot in a laundromat.
Huh?
Yep.
Who shot them up? I'm trying to find out what happened to my kid in New York that got stabbed. Then a minute you're going to call in and tell me what.
In Wisconsin, there's another story where two 12-year-olds stabbed another 12-year-old 19 times at a summer party.
Yeah, I heard about that. Something about.
And that she didn't die.
An internet, some kind of an internet thing or something. Yeah,
some kind of game they're playing. Some kind of game.
Oh, let's stab our classmate game.
Oh, that game.
Didn't play that.
What happened to him?
We played like spin the bottle. Or
house.
And
cops and robbers.
Cowboys and Indians.
The sad part about that is people will shake their head and want to know where the parents were, but then you got that guy, that military vet down in Georgia that's trying to be a good parent, and they throw the brother in jail. So... You can't win either way.
You can't break even. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're going to talk
about
you.
You're darned if you do, and you're darned if you don't.
You're a bad parent. Yeah, you're going to talk about that. Those two little girls' parents, where were they? Why would they raise kids like that? But then you got this brother that's trying to raise his kid right, and you're going to throw him in jail. You can't win as a parent today.
That's sad. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing well. I'll see you guys here before you get off air.
You coming up this way?
Yeah, I was going to meet with Sticks there.
Well, good. Be glad to have you.
It's frustrating because everybody sits there and will complain, oh, man, how could these two girls do that? Where were their parents? But then on the flip side, you see this stuff that's crazy like that. It's sort of like they everybody wants to pray to God after somebody goes in and one of these crazy kids go in and shoot up the school, but then they won't allow you to pray in the school.
Well, hey, Larry, I've heard some interesting statistics. Prior to 1968, any child could walk into any gun store in the United States of America and buy any long gun they wanted. But we didn't see kids shooting up schools then. We didn't have our first mass shooting by a teenager until 1979.
Hey, Sticks, they had They had gun clubs in schools where children would carry their rifle.
On the back of the trucks.
Yeah, no, children would carry, walk to school carrying their rifle, and at the end of school they would have target practice and so on and so on and so on in the public school.
Yeah.
And I think today they still have one in Atlanta, a school that has a gun club.
It wouldn't surprise me. There's probably more than that out there, but they want to blame firearms, and when it's something's changed in the soul of America. This is a problem of the heart, not a problem having to do with children getting weapons.
This is more than this is lack of a lack of a moral compass overall. I mean, seriously, the whole world is upside down, and nobody wants to address the problems.
Well,
I mean,
it's easier to blame the gun or the knife or the baseball bat than it is to blame the root cause.
Because right now, if you really look at what's going on, it's a free-for-all. I mean, like Larry said, you want the parent to parent, but you don't want the parent to parent. So the question is, where is the parent? But if you're a parent, then we're going to put you in jail. Come on, you can't. That doesn't make sense.
You caught me.
And it's systemic. You can't point to any one thing. It's a group of things.
Right.
You know, it's almost like we're out there, we're so afraid the PC police are come and get us that we're afraid of offending everybody except God. I mean, I don't know, Sticks, you got those statistics, but do you know of any Catholic schools where they've had some mass shooting or a Christian
No.
school where they had a mass shooting?
No. It's not even inner city schools either. It's up
right.
to this point, it's my understanding that they've all been upper middle class white suburban schools.
But let me say this, even with the upper class white suburban middle class schools that the shootings are happening, you have to realize the climate that's going on in the inner city schools. There may be a different means, but it always comes out with the same results.
Yeah, they shoot them going to and from school in Chicago.
We shoot them when they get home.
Yeah. They don't have to
tell me that
you've had kids get shot in poor areas a lot of times, and it doesn't make national news. It's just when it's in suburbia,
they don't care
it's not
about
supposed
that.
To happen in suburbia. Yeah,
did
they
you
care
guys hear,
about Sandy Hook.
Did you guys hear
I
about how
Tracy.
Many kids got how many shootings there were in Chicago June 1st? Something like 37 shootings. I got to find. There were like 37 shootings on June 1st within, districts? Within a,
well, that's
within
went down.
A,
it was 50 last year. It was 50 in one weekend last year.
No, this
so
is one day.
37 is not bad.
No, this is one day. And it was all over the city.
Chicago is a mess.
It's systemic. It's systemic, Tracy. You go and look at the unemployment rate for 16 to 32-year-olds in the city of Chicago, and it's well over 50%. And the reason those jobs aren't available is because grown folks is having to work those jobs just to put food on the table it's systemic. It all goes together. But people want to look at it and say they just want to blame guns. They just
want
to blame guns.
And the mayor of Chicago wants to bring in illegal aliens and give them city jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Look what the governor of Michigan want to do in Detroit, bring in immigrants and give them jobs in order to turn the economy around.
Go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, listen to this.
One of the top stories. Shots rang out last night in a laundromat in Chicago's South Shore neighborhood, leaving six people hurt. Darlene Hill live in Oak Lawn this morning, where some of the victims were taken for treatment. Darlene.
Hey again, Natalie. I can tell you that all of those six people were told by authorities are supposed to be okay. A 16-year-old boy is here at Christ Hospital. He was shot in the leg. And as you said, all of those six people shot in one location on the South Shore area just last night. Take a look at the video of that crazy, chaotic scene last night after 8 o'clock. Shooting happened on East 79th at a strip mall called the Horizon.
I mean, this is just going on.
That was last night.
Well, this Chicago, they had on May 26th, as a laundromat, on May 26th, they had 12 people that was, I think they said, 5 people were killed, 12 were injured in one weekend in Chicago, in multiple, in different locations throughout the city. So they were chasing bullets all over the city of Chicago.
Yeah, when I went up there, we bought a CNG van up there last summer, and when we were listening to the news, it was like the first 5 minutes of the radio news broadcast was just who got shot and where. It was surreal.
I'm not quite sure we're getting it.
This is the kind of stuff you hear during a war.
So we have mass murders going down one place. We have detainees being released for a defector. And no one is crying foul anywhere.
We live in upside down world.
In Kansas City, Missouri, they had the inner city African American school that didn't even have metal detectors 2 years ago, and they closed it because of an excuse called monetary reasons. And the academics was clean off the charts in their schools.
Well, that's what's going on in New York City. De Blasio's closing the charter schools that are in inner cities that are testing in the top 3% of all the schools in New York State, including the high-dollar blue-blood prep schools.
What?
And he's closing them because the union doesn't like them.
But the question is, what are we going to do about it? We talk about the problems all the time, and we disagree on a lot of things. But the question is, what are we really going to do about all this? I mean, look at what's going on with the money in America. Look at what's going on with the jobs. Look at what's going on with the misinformation and the underinformed in America.
But every time you try to do something about it, you're pegged as a racist or something like that. You know,
you're
a right wing crazy. You know, you're a right wing crazy if you want to scale back the influence of the unions.
What the thing is, what Tracy is asking, what can you do about it? As I was saying with the Social Security, it's the same thing. It's a political solution, and we are at a political divide in this country between the races, between the rich and the poor, and different divides, and that divide is not going to be changed. The wealthy people, the wealthy white people, doesn't give a crap that 31 black people get shot up every weekend in Chicago.
Can I ask you a question, man?
Let me just finish my point. One more thing and finish my point. Right? They don't give a care, so that if there's a solution to the problem, it's going to need the wealthy white people, but they don't really care. So
can I ask you a question, Covina man?
Wealthy black people don't give a care about it either.
Hold on, Pionki. I really got to ask him a question. Then I got to pick up another call, and then I'm going to take my break. Covina man, honey.
Yes, ma'am.
If you said that the wealthy white people don't care about 32 black people that got killed in Chicago, or anywhere else, that's what you said, right? Well, if the wealthy white man doesn't care, then how are these black people actually getting all this funding money and foundation money? Where do you think that comes from? And they give it to black people. I mean, seriously, there's money that's being given to black people to go help with programs and to do things in our community centers, in our community, and we take the money and put it in our pocket. Is it the white man's fault for doing that, or is it the black man's fault for stealing it?
The problem is a political solution, Tracy. It's not how much charity somebody's going to give. I was saying it's a political solution. The problem is their job base in those areas have been decimated since the 70s, and nobody cares to do anything about it.
If I got a job for you, I got jobs. You got workers? I got jobs paying anywhere from $15 to $20
yes,
an hour.
Yes,
you got people that can go to work?
I'll bring you some workers. Yes.
Do you have – no, seriously. Do you have job? Do you have people for me? Can
yes.
they pee in a cup?
Are you – now you want stipulation.
Hey, Kavina.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
That's how it goes.
Let's see.
I don't know. Did you hear about that incident between the two little girls stabbed another little girl over some, I think, some type of game or something like that? I mean, boy.
They had a sleepover.
The world. I mean, I was 12 years old, too, and I'm not saying I was an angel.
But you didn't stab nobody, right?
Huh?
You didn't stab nobody, right?
I thought it never came in my heart, mine. And I lived in a much bigger city than where I live in now. I know there are probably other kids. I mean, I've seen some kids my age snatch a purse out of a woman's hand. I mean, I've seen, you know, what they call it, mugging or something like that. They were young juveniles, and there were kids my age in that city that were in gangs, but I was not a part of no gang or anything.
Hey, I'll be right back. Hold on, Steve. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who...
Covina, man, you ain't serious about the stipulations, are you? Are you serious about that?
I think I'm muted, man. Hello?
No, I hear you. Are you serious about the stipulation?
No, the thing is, I was serious because it's like this. I'm just going to say this real quick. You have people who are dealing with stressful issues, and some people smoke some weed to deal with the stress. I never smoke weed. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying, but some people have. So what they want to do is, because these people are dealing with their stress and smoking weed, now all of a sudden they're going to have a job come up, and it's like, okay, now they might be ready to change their life next week. But right now, this week, they're having problems. Give them a shot first before you decide, we can't hire you because you smoke weed.
Hold on, Covina man, that's temporary because the person, if they stop smoking weed a month from now, they'll be able to get a job. So if you're serious, you can go a month trying to get your life together. If you can't focus for a month, you wasn't gonna last anyway on the job.
Okay, that's fair. I'm fair for that. We can give the people a job and say in a month people gotta be clean. That would be a fair stipulation.
But that's all. That's about how long it takes. If you leave it alone and drink a lot of water, flush your system out, in a month you should be okay to test for a drug test. And you can go out and get a good job. I mean, I'm sorry. Black people getting high and doing certain things, knowing that, and then you talk to them and they'll say they got all this stuff pitted against me. Why would you go and give ammunition to your quote-unquote enemies if you're serious about trying to get your life together? I just don't understand that.
No, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. But the thing is, we're dealing with reality here. We're not dealing with people who you could just talk to about this.
But Covina, man, I'm from the same community these people are. I mean, I'm sorry. I agree with a lot of black nationalism, but I don't believe in just giving people just crutches to live their lives any kind of way they want to. Because that's all we do as black, especially black men. We make excuses and we wonder why our women do other, you know, don't respect us, because we can't even keep we'd rather get high than be able to take care of our kids. We'd rather get high. You got to put that, you're putting that high in front of everything. Like, I have a problem with that. Just because you want to get, I mean, go drink a beer or something, but don't go
and
smoke your life away.
But the thing is,
I'd rather get high. I know people that could have been in the NBA that played basketball. They could not leave the joints alone. And I got to play over these guys. They were suspended. Guys that had they played, I probably wouldn't have saw the flow. 6'6", 40-inch vertical, can jump, run, but can't stop smoking weed. And that's why they not playing basketball.
But I understand you, man. I'm 100%. But what I'm saying is that becomes an excuse for the people to say, oh, we're not going to do no jobs because people can't pass the drug screen. That's where their crutch is.
I'll never be a proponent of just letting people just not have jobs just because they can't. Somebody's not smoking weed. Somebody will get the job. Don't tell me everybody in the hood. There are a lot of black people that don't smoke weed. Most of them don't. So that's just a lie.
Right, but my point of it was before Tracy wanted to see that the thing is Tracy came in with the weed thing in order to distract from my quality point. My quality point was you could point to Detroit in the past and see when Detroit was a humming metropolitan of industry.
800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347. Sorry about that. Number 347-945-5229. And it's open mic today, and I was playing a song from The Wiz. For those of you who live in the Mahoning Valley, there is a community play called The Wiz over at the Playhouse. It's going to be on this weekend. Jeff's going to talk about it probably on Friday. But wanted to let you guys know, and when Larry came in and said, you just can't win, it just made me think about you can't win because you just can't. I mean, it's really kind of sad.
Tracy, let me make a quick point.
Kobe and a man, no. I just wanted to let you guys know about the play over there, and it just made me think about that song because they have made it into a way that you just can't win.
Right.
No matter what you do.
Absolutely. You can't start a business because of all the regulation. You can't hire help because no. You can't afford to pay what they demand you pay them. This has become a government of the connected, by the connected, for the connected.
Yeah, didn't they just raise minimum
exactly
wage to $15 an hour? Seattle.
7 years, though. 7 years. But let me make this point, Tracy, because I think it's an important point that we were making here right before you went to the break, and that you're saying to the people in 2014, well, in order for you to get a job, you got to pee in a cup. Okay, I understand that. But you go to Flint, Michigan, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, when they had industry jobs that was humming and people was making money and everything was, and people had middle class jobs and everything, and then you didn't say to them, well, we're going to get rid of the jobs because you can't pee in the cup. All of a sudden, you just said it was the rich people that said we're gonna ship these jobs over here in Mexico. We're gonna do these things. We're gonna ship jobs overseas. We're gonna do all these things, and then all of a sudden, you got poor people on top of poor people for generations, for years, and then all of a sudden, people's like, well, we ain't had no jobs. We're depressed. We're smoking weed. We're doing this, that, and the other, and then all of a sudden, like, well, we'll bring. Some, wait a minute, I'm almost finished. Then all of a sudden, it's like,
no,
well, we'll bring some jobs back. If you can pee in the cup. I call PA.
Call me the man. You want to tell you the difference between then and now? It's called globalization. And let me say it this way. Back then, you were competing with yourself, against yourself, and for yourself as Americans. And so if you made a defective product, and we made pretty good products for the most part,
mm-hmm.
but if you made a defective product, it was a little bit different. The cost of doing business was a whole lot lower. The dollar was worth a whole lot more. But because of globalization and because things are the way they are today, because at that time you could go to work and not work all day long and get a paycheck and nobody cared. If you worked in the steel mills, you could get 13 weeks of vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You could make you made some money. Money was flowing. You didn't have EPA regulations. You didn't have all the taxes that you have for the cost of doing business. Everything was totally different.
We were still coming out of the Second World War. There was no industrial base in the whole of Europe. It had all been destroyed. There was the only steel mills on the planet after World War II were in the United States. There was no competition.
So, yeah, the Marshall Plan.
Hold on, guys. He won't let me finish. And so what I'm saying is you can't run these machines now, go to work, and not be productive, think you're going to stay in business and have a job next week. I mean, people in corporate America are now leaving the corporate America and trying to find something else because the demand, you don't see your family.
Right.
I mean, the demand for doing business, I mean, we point our finger at the laborers, but everybody right now is held to a higher standard of accountability, at work. Everyone, you go to work in the morning and you bring work home at night and you stay at the office until past time. Everybody's being pushed.
My daughter and son-in-law both work 50-hour weeks. They're engineers.
And you have no choice.
On salary.
You have no choice, and if you don't work, we'll find somebody else to replace you.
And,
it's just that simple.
And routinely, my daughter gets there before her boss, and she leaves after her boss.
And no one cares.
What kind of engineer is she, Stick?
Mining engineer.
You know what we're talking about? You hear all this news about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Well, they're going to need it because at the same time, they're raising the regulation on power generating plants,
yep,
where they have to cut their emissions to points where they're almost ridiculous, and that's going to cause a raising in the electrical rates for people homes. Well, that $15 an hour just about already ate up.
Yeah, Governor Tomlin in West Virginia already said that these new regulations will close every power plant in West Virginia. So how many poor people is that going to help?
Not very many.
That's you.
You know, that Kavina, man, I got a question for you. We've got an awful lot of people in this country that are just now getting ready to retire. They've worked in factories their whole lives. They've saved and invested, and they're worth several million dollars. Because and they paid into Social Security all those years. So you're telling me it's fair to tax them and to take their money to pay for what was already taken from them. So you're going to make them pay 2, 3, 4 times for the same benefit. Is that fair?
If they're the ones that did the investment, then it's fair, yes.
So I walked in and out of a factory door all those years, and instead of blowing my money, I'm investing it. So now I got to pay again because I was frugal.
Right.
Oh, okay.
No one cares.
This is a wonderful
I'm not even understanding what – I'm not even – hold on.
Kavina,
man. Wait, let me just –
No, Kavina, man, hold up. No. Go ahead, Alabama.
No, the point I was trying to make is that it's really interesting how anti-business has infiltrated a lot of segments of our population to where they don't understand, like, I'm trying to get out of, like, you talk about the wealthy a lot of times. You said the wealthy are doing this and doing that. And when somebody's trying to get up near the wealthy, people make it harder for them because they influence the government. They stop you from getting up there to be able to compete with the wealthy and do what they do by little tricks like that. And we have, and people, when they see it, they don't see it. I'm like, this is how they're stopping people from getting to where they can actually, you know, kind of even things out a little bit. Because if you're working a 9-to-5 and you're trying to get a nest egg, wealthy people are saying, look, change the tax system so that this guy can't make as much as I can, so he can't come out here and start competing with me and doing what I do. And that's unfair.
The U.S. Department of Chamber of Commerce.
Well, you know, I'm not understanding what you're talking about. But I'll go back to what the speaker was saying. The thing is, what I'm saying is, you have the people who's making money off of interest, off of investment, that stuff, and capital gains type thing that is not included in how people pay into Social Security. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about
the thing is, Kavina, man, I paid Social Security all those years on my wages. And now I'm 65 years old and I'm retiring, and you want me to pay again on my capital gains from what I've saved all my life. That's not fair.
That's irrelevant. I'm just talking about you. You're going to get your Social Security. Nobody's going to stop you from getting your Social Security, and it should be that way with everybody who pays into it. And
Social Security doesn't pay the bills.
But the problem is there's no money to pay the Social Security with because you've got two people working for every one person getting the check.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay, Stig, that's right there. You have two people working. That's because the most money is being made is not made by the workers. It's not being made by the workers.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Go ahead, Covina, man.
Oh, I had muted myself. Hold on, man. Keep talking. I got to come back. Hold on.
The only point I was trying to make, as you say you didn't understand me, what I'm saying is if I work a 9-to-5 and I save up my nest egg and I got a few million dollars or whatever, why would you tax me after I took my after-tax dollars to do it? That's not fair. That's not. The tax code is set up, like with my mom, for example. She gets Social Security, right? They told her she cannot work a job, and if she does, she can't make over $1,100 collectively between the job and what she makes in Social Security. She only getting like $800-$900 in Social Security. So she can't work for – they trying to force her to live off $200 a month. My mom
is
70.
How old is she?
They trying to force her to live off Social Security. Force her to live off
I ain't never heard of that. I heard – for instance, if you retire early at 62, and you only allowed to make X number of dollars, and if you make above that, they'll penalize you. But after you become 65 or whatever your normal retirement age is, they give you all that money back in the lump
sum. She didn't start to 65. My mama didn't start to 65, and they don't let her. They tell her she got to live off a certain amount. She can't make over a certain amount of money.
Yeah, well,
I don't know how people are going to ever save up to live off of what it takes to live off of when they retire. I really don't. The average person.
The thing is,
hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just went through it with my father. It used to be 62. His full retirement age was 66. And prior to that, he wanted to retire a year ago, 65, and still work, and they have a limit on how much you can make. The limit.
Well, they limit.
The limit is $15,000 that you can make if you take it in that before your full retirement age. Now, my full retirement age is 67, and they're talking about increasing that. And that's where everybody doesn't understand yet. Everybody's paid into it, but there's no money left over for the obligations of paying the people that will be. It's just not in there.
But if you,
I said this before.
If it's your money, how can they come in and say, okay, well, it's your money, but we're not going to give it to you because you got an extra $2,000 to come. That's not fair.
You know what?
That's
the courts
fair.
Have rules that, though. Courts have rules to say that that's not an entitlement. But on that other
that's
issue,
why, that's
if
why you
make
need a
go,
lawyer to get to claim Social Security. Now you need a lawyer just to even get what they're supposed to give you anyway.
The reason that they put those restrictions on there is because there is no money. Yes, you're entitled to it. You paid into it. But there's no money to pay out all the obligations. So they put these hurdles in there to, A, make people work longer, and, B, to delay payment. They can't pay it. So you have two options, do means testing. The guy that's a billionaire, like a Romney, for instance, he's worth $250. He doesn't need Social Security, but he's paid into
it.
Yeah, but he doesn't need it. That's the next thing coming down. Means testing and or taking the cap off. I'm a big proponent of taking the cap off. Last year, over 6.7 million people made in excess of $200,000 a year. It's not fair that they're only paying Social Security tax on a fraction of that money. The guy that made $1 million only paid tax for Social Security purposes of 110.
Well, I know some people who have paid the full value all their working life only to die the day after they retire.
Yeah, and it's gone. If they have a spouse, they have a formula even for the spouse. You would think they would get half of it. If the spouse is doing this, they make up the difference. The but you don't get the full amount.
That's what my mom, she's getting actually part of my dad's, his Social Security. He died at 66. They timed him just right. And I know a lot of y'all probably think I'm a conspiracy theorist when I say this, but why do you think the Food and Drug Administration are joined in together? Because a lot of these chemicals they're putting in our bodies are, when your hormone levels drop, cancer, all types of diseases come in, whereas when you don't eat that stuff your whole life and you go live in a foreign country, those people live to be 90 and 100 years old because they don't have to deal with that routinely.
They can't afford to have Americans all living to 80, 90 years old. They can't. I'm telling you, it's a broken system, and it's the easiest fix.
Why do you think he said you shouldn't have that hip replacement when he's running on office trying to get Obamacare through? Because they know, okay, well, this guy's old. He's not going to be paying into the system. It's a math equation. We don't need you no more. You're a liability. Go ahead and die. We're not going to give you the health care. We're not. And that's the way they think. So they told my dad, I actually saw this at the VA with my dad. I had to go up there and raise sand just to get them to give him chemo treatment. They were just going to let him have cancer and die. They didn't even want to treat him because, he's 66. What's that mean? He could live to be 96. But now they got to pay for stuff. They don't want to do that.
That's what it comes down to. It's all about money.
You're right. You got the number, the bean counters, they call them actuarial tables, and they look at that stuff, and they have a pretty good idea. It's the same thing. Sarah Palin set death panels, and everybody railed on her, but that's part of the Affordable Care Act. It's not called a death panel. They called it the iPad.
Well, you want to see that, look at the VA. Just go look at the VA. The VA has a panel that decides.
Death panels in the VA.
Yeah, the VA decided they decided not to treat my dad at 66. We had to fight it to get him some treatment. He had cancer, found it at stage 3, and we had to fight just to get them. And then every time he would go get treatment for like a few months, they'll try to cancel it, and we had to go up there, and then they'll meet again. And then this is how they operate, because they want to give as little money as possible.
And you wonder why cities is buying up all these armored vehicles. It's to deal with the people like you, like John Hughes of the world, which is coming.
Well, there's going to be a reckoning. I mean, everybody doesn't want to believe it, but, if we, and we're fastly approaching, or we lose our status as the currency of Mohs, or the federal exchange note is the dollar, when we lose that, and they have a reset, you're going to see upset people.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And 6 and 9 here in studio with Hump Day. We have an open mic today. Tomorrow, Mark Manchin, I will probably do the same thing. We'll be probably be a little bit more focused in on the detainees and the VA, and just go through. We'll probably just do all the scandals of the presidency of President Barack Obama.
You got a month? You got a month?
I was going to say, Tracy, you can't do that in one show.
What? I got to have a series?
Yeah, that'd be a week long.
There was the VA scandal last week. This week, it last year, I think he had a good stretch, like 12 weeks straight. Something happened. He didn't know he never knew anything. He never knew what happened.
Tomorrow we're going to do the scandals of the presidency. We're going to do all the scandals of the presidency of the President Barack Obama from Fast and Furious forward. Fast and Furious was the first, wasn't it?
Fast and Furious, yeah. Then just IRS, Benghazi, VA, trading terrorists for...
For detainees or
trading terrorists for deserters.
We'll have a good day.
I honestly think that the president's getting bad political advice. Really,
hold on. Sticks. I'm going to say this. I know this is not popular. Why are we calling, you watch the news, terrorists. These guys are from Afghanistan. It's their country. We came over there looking for bin Laden. Bin Laden left. We killed him. We got rid of Saddam Hussein. There's a difference between Al-Qaeda and Taliban. Now they're kind of interchangeable, but they're not these people. That's their country.
Yeah, and hello, Tracy.
Yes, Dana, good morning.
I have a problem with what Six is saying, and I go back to Alabama. Why are we calling them terrorists? Because they don't agree the way we're seeing things and everything, and I don't call them terrorists because we've done some stuff, like you said, Tracy, around the world that around the world could call us terrorists also. And there's no consequence with that. So let's not act like we're mightier than us, because if we go through the whole history of the United States, there's many things that as United States people, if we would know our history, we should be ashamed of what we've done around the world.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Okay. I've done some bad things in my past. I have. I'm talking personal. I've done some things I'm really not proud of. I made some mistakes. Do I have to pay for them today?
No, but you have to go with the consequence. If the consequence is people reminding you, hey, we didn't forget what you've done last time.
But listen, but if it's going to take, they're going to kill my child for what I did yesterday,
but if you kill their children or if you kill their family, if you did something stupid, don't be surprised the reaction is going to be the same on you.
Can I ask
you a question?
Hold on, Stanley. My question is, so should they take it out on my children for what I did?
That is a great question.
Stanley, hold on. Stop. Listen to what I'm saying. Because what's happening right now is that we're turning our reins over to other people. And guess what? Stanley, you have nothing to do with the past practices and policies of America. You weren't even born yet. You weren't even paying attention yet. I'm 50 years old. I wasn't even born yet. I wasn't paying attention yet. And this thing is getting ready to snowball, and it's going to land in my lap and your lap.
Yes.
And if we don't, are you okay with? Oh no! Listen, are you okay with that? Because see, when I say land in your lap, I'm not talking about figuratively landing in your lap. I'm talking about literally landing in your lap.
Yeah.
And it's going to blow up. So you don't mind them bombing your apartment building?
No, it's not a question I don't mind them bombing. It's a question that I don't accept that we've done crazy things and we didn't do what we need to do.
Stanley,
I'm sorry, there's a way
you're
to
not listening.
To those people.
They're not gonna say you can't go over there and say, here's a peace offering, let bygones be bygones and let's move forward from here.
How do you know?
That's not
how you know.
Oh babe.
How do you know?
That is the
we
the
never
problem
try
that President
we
Obama
never
had.
Try that.
Hey
no,
Stanley,
no.
Stanley, let me ask you this. If should the United States have sat out in World War II?
Should the United States said no.
Why?
No.
Why not? It was a war, and wars are bad. You've said that.
Yeah, but
you
wars
know,
bad
you do know FDR.
Hold on, Alabama. Go ahead, Stanley.
No, we should have. We had a responsibility around the world, and everything was bigger than just the war here. It was bigger than it was basically. Yeah, it was bigger than this.
So it was okay to be us.
Go ahead.
So it was okay to be the world's policeman in World War II, but
now
we're not
the world policeman. Six, if you know your history and everything, Russia did more sacrifice than we did in World War II. And I don't hear you screaming them about it.
They lost way more people than the Germans.
Were they right to do what they did? They could have done the same thing as you. And say, we shouldn't
need they couldn't. They were invaded.
But imagine
they were invaded, and the United States of America supplied them. They would have lost to the North Germany if the United States had not supplied them with munitions.
Hold on. One at a time.
Okay.
Stanley. Y'all both want to make a point, and we still cross over. Go ahead, Stanley. Then I'm going to stick back in
there.
The
point six is, if it wasn't for Russia, World War II, we would have never won the war. And that's one thing Americans don't want to get. You're all so proud of saying, oh, it's just us that saved the world. No, you didn't. If it wasn't for Russia, you would have lost the war, period. If it wasn't for the sacrifice
Hold on, Stanley. Make it quick. Go ahead, caller. Come in. Who just called my name?
Am I on here?
Yes, you are. Who is this?
Hi. Good morning, Tracy. This is Dale. I haven't heard you for a long time. I've been
good morning, Dale.
Good morning.
Where you been?
Hey, I've been around, but hey, I'm picking up. And what I notice a lot of times is people's tone on what they think of the United States. We have gotten our current president has gotten us into an apologetic tone.
And I tell you, I love this country. It has afforded me a lot of opportunities. And even him, the opportunity it's afforded him, I mean, this country's not perfect, but we've come a long way. And just wanted to get the caller's take on that.
I agree with you. I said this on Monday. I think it was Monday or Friday. Secretary of State Houston was here, and we had a conversation about Americans make up 4% of the globe and how well we live at the 4%. And I don't think we quite appreciate what we actually have, and we are giving it away slowly but surely because of laziness, lack of information, and a lot of misinformation. And we will not hold on to this. Yes, America has done some things that they should not have done, and they made some bad mistakes. But I do not want to see a bomb go off in the middle of Jacob Field during a baseball game because they don't like us anymore. And
hey,
we
Tracy.
Act as though
Tracy.
Hold on, Pionki. And we act as though we're safe now. We act as though we can sit down with them. We can have this conversation of diplomacy. Okay, let bygones be bygones. I love you. You love me. We'll get over this. We're gonna go. We're gonna forgive our past, and we're gonna move forward from here. This is all about a ideology that these people have, that you are an infidel, and
right.
In their faith and their belief, they believe this to the core, that you are nasty, you are dirty, you are worse than a pig, you are worse than, you know, because pigs are bad in their belief.
And
you are the scum of the earth. Hold on, Stanley. And we don't believe that a person could loathe a whole nation just based on that. You have to understand how we parade our women around is considered really bad for them. It is a disgrace to their God how we parade our women. I just saw a picture of Rihanna almost naked, and we celebrated her for being best dressed. Yet they look at that and it's in the stain.
You are right.
I disagree with what she had on. Hold on, Pionki. I disagree with what she had on. But it's American, and if you want to go down the street naked, that's your business, even if I disagree with it. And we are failing to realize these people don't want us to have those freedoms.
That's right.
Hogwash.
See, we're missing.
Huh? That's not true.
Hey, that's not true, Tracy. Because
Hold on, guys. Let Dale go ahead, and then we'll come back in. Go ahead, Dale.
Tracy and I heard an earlier caller talking about the rich and him wanting to they make money on their investments and all that. And I'm not rich, but I'm blessed. But that attitude of taking money from rich people, you know, the attitude ought to be, and I've said this many times, if I meet a millionaire, most people say, well, I would like him to buy my lunch. I tell you what, if I meet a millionaire, let me buy his lunch and tell me how you made that million. But
me and you
both.
Got
the wrong attitude. And it's attitude that determines altitude to intestinal fortitude. People, myself included, we're always looking for an easy way out instead of the hard right way. And when we follow the hard right way, no matter where we end up, we can be content with ourselves. And the Bible tells us contentment with godliness is great gain. The great gain, that's what people need to be looking for, the great gain.
You know, it's funny
what
you just said. There are people that are – hold on, Pionki. There are people that pay thousands of dollars to go and sit down and have lunch with CEOs of companies. Just to spend time with them, to ask them how you got to where you are and
yes.
Spend time with successful people. Our problem is we don't reward, nor do we actually appreciate people who have made it before us. I sat down with Judge Sarah Parker last night with dinner, and she is the first African-American to sit on the Ohio Supreme Court. And I sat down with her, and I talked to her, and I was like, thank you for what you've done for me. And I just met her a couple months ago. And she's a little tiny black lady who was the first black woman to go through Case Western Reserve Law School. And so she bit the bullet so that I could follow behind her. And I don't think we
yeah,
can get that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Go ahead, Pionki.
Well, you know what, though?
Hold on, Alabama.
Well,
go ahead, Pionki.
I hear what you're saying about the United States being so great. But, see, I take a different position. And not only the United States, but her NATO posse, UK, France, also. And I look at the notorious things that they've done around the country, from removing Democratic elected presidents. And my concern is with the continent of Africa. I looked at what they've done with Somalia back in the 1970s to cause Somalia to be where it is today. Even look at what the Britain had done in Iran, trying to capture its oil, whereas it caused the nationalization of the oil fields. They didn't like that. They say it's something terribly wrong with that. So, no, United States, and look at the Dulles brothers, how they paid, put up a $300,000 bounty on Patrice Lumumba's head, a duly elected president of the Congo, and killed him. And it goes on and on and on and on. So I take an opposite position.
Okay, go ahead, Alabama. Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, Alabama.
Yeah, I was just saying that it's just interesting that the point you made a minute ago about do I need to sign something?
No.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll talk later. Hold on.
Go ahead, Stanley.
I do not agree with what your assessment is with the Quran and everything. I'm sorry. I've met people who are Muslim who doesn't believe everything that you're saying, who doesn't believe the philosophy that, oh, they hate us, they're going to kill us because we're infidel. No, they don't go there. And if you start by that mentality of saying we hate you and we know you're going to kill you, of course you're done. We never try to basically say, wait, let me just finish, Tracy. We have never tried as a nation who's supposed to represent peace, we're supposed to be the ultimate justice, to sit down with them and find out, you know what, let's sit down together and find out what's the truth. We've never done that. You don't believe in it, but I believe in peace in this world. I believe in that world of peace. And I believe they're human beings like us, and there's a way to do it. You need to influence them. You need to find out how to influence them. We've never done that. We've never studied that. We never expected that.
Hold on. Alabama, no. Stanley?
No, I'm just saying I was ready when you get a chance.
Listen, hold on. Listen, this is it, Stanley. There are people here. And when we talk about Islam, we're not talking about all people who believe in Islam. That's not what we're saying. I have friends, and they are Islamic. And they don't believe what's going on with the Taliban. And they don't believe what's going on with a lot of these. But there are others who, and you have to realize, just as though there are many, many shades of all different beliefs and faiths, we look at the Republicans and we say they're too far right, and we look at the Democrats and we say they're too far left. Mm-hmm. You have some of those people who are too far Islamic. And the people that are too far Islamic, that's what we're talking about. And these, what
you
call the Shia. And that's who that's what they believe. It's nothing personal against an indictment against them. It's what they believe. And their belief says, kill you because you're an infidel. And remember, it's all about a philosophy to bring forth another iman. And so we need to understand this. They don't like you.
Okay.
Tracy,
Hold on, Covina, man. So they don't like you. And what I'm saying is, you have to look at America. We're so fractured in America that we won't look at the sum total of this, that people don't like you in the world, and they will kill you. Can you remember what was going on 9/11? Where were you when you saw those planes hit that building, and what was your reaction?
Well, I was disappointed. Yeah, I was disappointed and this and that, but some other people that were Muslim were basically happy like hell.
Okay, so hold on, Alabama. So listen to this, Stanley. Listen to what you're saying. You have people who are willing to fly into a building and to take their lives to kill 3,000 Americans in one day. Right now, we send our children to school, and we don't worry about them, for the most part, coming home at night. We go to ball games, and we have 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people sitting in an arena for a spectator sport to watch a football game. And we're cheering, drinking beer, popcorn, and hot dogs, and having a good time. Do you understand that they want to come into that arena and blow it to smithereens with you in it?
Yes, I understand that.
Do
but
you
the
care?
They got a good reason.
Yeah, no, wait. But the thing you don't understand, Tracy, is if we go to their country, we've done those things. We've blown up things at their place. We've killed mothers, sisters, and everything in their place. We're responsible for things that they did.
I called Rena Man. I just told you. Don't cut him off.
And that's the thing that you don't understand. The thing that happened with 9/11, like, I'm sorry, the ex-pastor of basically Obama was right.
When you start basically bullying other countries, basically doing what Six tells you, basically killing other countries, doing things, doing your own way, there's going to be consequences. And the consequence was 9/11. That's what you don't understand.
Oh, so the United States has no business protecting its own interests abroad.
That's pretty much what he's saying.
Okay.
Hold on. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, Tracy, I got to go, but I'm going to get back on her, but I have to go do a job here, and I'm going to get back on a little bit.
Okay,
my
thank
apologies.
You.
That's thank
all right.
You. Bye-bye.
440, your mic is
Alabama.
On. Hold on.
Yeah, I'd like to know, if it's so bad here, why are you here? If I'm at a place...
Because they owe me my Social Security.
You don't like
Pionky,
it?
Pionky.
That's all, you know? And, you know, as far as, it's okay to do all these things, you have to understand, even the people that you're talking to right now, Tracy, they don't have the same value on life that you do.
Stanley, no.
Go ahead.
That's you, Stanley. You don't have the same value of life that I do or some other people do. That's a fact.
Go ahead, hold on, Sam. Alabama, go ahead.
That's it.
Okay, now, there was a point you made a while ago, and it was that these guys want to kill these guys of this, these guys of that. Okay, so what you're saying is, okay, the initial reason that we were told we were going to go to Afghanistan was for one reason only, to get bin Laden. Now it's turned into a crusade. It's basically a holy war against us, against the Muslim radicals. But the problem I have is that had we just got this guy and went home, nobody would have nothing to say. But now it's turned into, now we're going to have to fight these guys indefinitely. And I agree, I'm not going to lay my life down, and I'm sure Stanley's not going to lay his life down because of something some guys did, some rich guys did through the CIA 70 years ago. And so I'm not going to, they want to come over here, then it's on and popping. But what I'm saying is, let's at least understand the mindset of somebody. Not all these guys will say, we want to wipe you off. Some of these guys are like, you're in my country. You're in my country. You are surrounding my people. You're drone attacking my people every day. You don't even... This president has done more drone attack. I mean, it's both of them, Republicans and Democrats. So I understand and I agree. I'm not going to lay my life down. I value life just like everybody else.
Hold on, guys.
Phone, but don't sit up here and tell me that America is supposed to go out and stay over there and keep our sons and daughters over there dying, trying to fight something that now is so nebulous, we don't even know what's going on. Like, these people are going to fight us. Because if China, which is probably going to do this one day, start invading America, we're going to do the same exact thing they're doing right now. And then they go, but you can't make it into a religious thing. Just say, look, leave them alone. I don't see what's the big deal about that.
Hold on.
I agree with Alabama with the troops and stuff. I mean, I think we've been at this too long. I think as soon as we found out what country was sponsoring bin Laden, we should have sent the B-52s over and just turned their entire capital city into powder and said, now don't do it again, or we'll do it again.
That's what the problem is right there.
No, that's not a problem. That's how you fight war, because that's what you do in a war. The purpose of war is to break things and kill people.
South Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, Tracy, I think the misunderstanding that folks are having with this issue is the fact that when you have radical jihadists, okay, you know, their concept of fighting is me and my brother against my cousin, but me and my cousin against the world, okay? If you attack the radical Islamists on one side, they will raise jihad against you. You are the infidel. So you've got Al-Qaeda working together, you've got Hamas, you got Boko Haram, all of them are in this together to destroy the infidel, which at this point in time, the great Satan is the United States. So if you attack to prevent other attacks on your soil, like 9/11, and you attack that one faction of Hamas or one faction of Al-Qaeda, you got to fight them all on it, and you got to fight them on all fronts. And that's the thing that you guys are not understanding. That's their philosophy of war. Plain and simple. I mean,
yeah, precisely.
We have an Americanized ideology about what war is. They see it differently.
Well, and not only that, they look at negotiation as weakness. If Jimmy Carter, when they took the embassy, if Jimmy Carter would have sent the B-52s over and turned Tehran into powder and said, now don't do it again, we probably wouldn't be in this. There probably never would have been a 9/11 because they respect power. They respect strength.
The only
because
thing
that's
they
how they react to those things.
You can you don't have to blow a city up to do that though, Sticks. All you have to you can set a nuke off somewhere and let somebody know you mean business without killing kids and women. You can
put
it off somewhere.
I spent 20 years in the nuclear navy. You don't play with nuclear weapons.
You got to realize what they did. They went after your financial structure, which was the towers, the twin towers. That's where your financial base, the tower of your financial base of America was. And the reason why, and I believe this with all my heart, the reason why they didn't want you to go in there and help people to get out had nothing to do with the fumes there. It had all to do with what was in the bottom of the basement. Remember, we have a lot of gold, a lot of wealth. Then they went after the White House, and remember, they missed. And then remember, they went after the Pentagon, which was your military. They're all about symbolism also.
Yeah, this was a symbolic attack as much as it was a military
Absolutely.
Attack.
Absolutely. They're all about symbols. They're all about letting you know that
they
we're coming after you this way. Huh?
They didn't do that, Tracy. They didn't. We did it. Tracy, it's too many holes that I just – to sit up here and be 100% the terrorist – it's just crazy. I think to sit up here and ignore the fact that they didn't come over here.
You believe, Alabama, don't you believe that America blew up these buildings themselves?
I'm gonna tell you why.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm gonna tell you why.
Answer the question. Do you believe that America blew up these buildings themselves?
Okay, you want to hear my answer? My answer is what Dwight Eisenhower said when his last farewell speech. That was what.
Alabama, I only have 30 minutes. I got some people to pull in. The answer to the question is, do you believe that Americans blew up the buildings themselves? Yes or no?
The military industrial complex blew it up, yes.
That's what I wanted to know.
So I'm crazy?
I didn't say that. I just asked you what you believe.
I disagree with you because I've talked to Todd Beamer's father.
You what?
I talked to Todd Beamer's father. He went to my church. You know the Let's Roll guy? The Let's Roll guy, Todd Beamer, on the plane in the field.
His son, what he may have called his wife. Go ahead.
Were those planes flown into those buildings by terrorists with all the passengers on board?
Well, what was attached to the bottom of the plane? What was attached to the bottom of the plane? You know what that was? That was a different plane.
I didn't see anything attached to the bottoms of the planes.
Oh, man.
I've watched the videotape over and over and over again. I've never seen anything.
I watched it. I watched it. Got it slowed down. I'll send it to you. Please, what's your name on it?
I don't want to change. Send it via Facebook. Don't change the climate of the conversation, please. Alex, do you have anything to say? 412? Okay, he's working. Bianchi, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I say that they, you know, the reason I say that they didn't fall down the way way it was claimed, because I spent too many decades putting buildings up like that. So, no, they didn't. Airplanes didn't bring them down. Then that's building three. I mean, we really don't have to start rehashing all this all over again. It's just like, where's Bin Laden's body? If you don't believe that this stuff goes on, why can't we believe it in another story, but when people throw these cards on the table, you got to take those cards and throw them in the trash can.
I didn't. Anybody said, you heard me say yes or no. I just asked him what he believed. I just want to hear him yes or no, because
well,
what
I
he was saying
you,
was changing the climate.
I've heard you support it. I've heard you support it in the past, Tracy, so I know you can't all of a sudden change your mind after a few months. Thank you.
You don't know that. I'm a woman. I change my mind, you know, like I change shoes. I thought y'all knew.
Boy, ain't that the truth. Ain't that the truth.
And Tracy.
That's what we do. Yes, Stanley.
the thing I don't agree with you, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to agree with Six, I'm not going to agree with you guys and everything. Those people have belief and everything. You make it sound like as soon as somebody has an evil belief or wants to kill you, there's nothing we could do. We just have to take a gun and kill them. Instead of there's
always a
way.
No, I didn't. And I never.
What?
I didn't say that. I never said that either.
I heard you, Six. I heard you say, you say we got to bomb the whole city. We got to bomb We got to bomb
that.
And I'm sorry.
Stanley,
I do not agree with that philosophy. Wait, let me finish, Six. I do not agree with that philosophy. I've saw people, Jews and Palestinians, who hated each other's guts. Until somebody in the middle basically was maybe a psychologist or somebody that was smarter than you, Six, that basically found a way to make them talk, and basically they became best of friends. So do not agree, I do not agree when you think that, oh, as American, we need to blow up people, and this and that. If you want to blow up people, that means you don't believe in your humanity. That means you don't believe in their humanity, and that's where I have a problem with you.
No, Stanley, you didn't hear what I said.
I said,
when you attack me, I didn't say you just don't like me. When you attack me, when they took the embassy and took the hostages, Jimmy Carter should have leveled Tehran. When they attacked us at 9/11, I believe it was a terrorist attack. They should have leveled Kabul. When
but
you attack
Six,
me,
I have the inherent human right
of self-defense.
No,
wait,
Stanley,
go ahead.
Do not cross him until he finishes.
Go ahead.
I have the inherent human right of self-defense. And when you hit me in the mouth, I have a right to beat you to death.
That's not what we do in America anymore. We talk it out.
Can I finish? Yes, Tracy?
Hold on. Stanley, hold on. Go ahead, South Carolina. Hold on, Larry.
Here's the thing that people don't understand. There is no way to civilly fight a war. That's what politicians do. What we do in the military is we give the enemy every opportunity that they can have to die for their country. if you drop a hand grenade in my front yard, I'm going to drop a 500-pound bomb in your front yard. This is how war is fought. And all this pussyfooting around about, oh, we shouldn't have killed this one, oh, we shouldn't have killed that one. In war, there's no such thing as fairness. Come on, man. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Stanley, don't do it.
That's like getting mad with a guy that you jump into a fight with. You got a knife in your hand. He has a gun. That's stupidity.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I'm glad that South Carolina brought that point up. Stanley is the and you never going to convince Stanley. He's got this. Stanley's the type of guy that ain't got kids, but then will tell you how to raise yours. Stanley's the guy that reads in the books the grand scheme. He's just like Obama. But so like this guy, war is not nice. It's not, there's no, like he said, civil way to fight it. I take the Israeli approach. You don't see them trying some of this craziness on Israel. Right, you abduct one of their soldiers, they're going to come in and destroy a whole city. So you, and that's what they know over there. And I can't remember who it said, these Islamic extreme terrorists, that's all they respect is power. So like Six said, you punch me in the mouth, I'm going to put you 6 feet under. That's what they respect. You know, but back to Tracy, I mean, you know, if you start looking, I don't know who took the towers down, but the one caller said it was Building 7. Building 7 didn't get hit by anything and went into free fall. And so there's I don't know. I'm always skeptical on what happened on 9/11, but it did, and Democrats and Republican elected leaders decided to take us down this path. But I don't know. There was a whole bunch of people cheering that day, and they weren't all Muslims.
And you do know Building 6 was Rudy Giuliani's headquarters. That was where his command post. That's where he was. And as soon as later in the afternoon, they got footage of these guys. We're about to pull the building. That's not the official report. 9/11 report doesn't even talk about Building 6. It fell in 6.5 seconds. Let me finish this point.
I don't care.
Saying it fell and it's still
you
in the background.
You are missing the point. I don't care. The conspiracy theory of what happened on 9/11 is not a part of the conversation. Stay on topic. I'll be right back.
Faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming.
Yeah, how you going to say you don't trust the government? You going to say you don't trust the government, but then you going to call me a conspiracy theorist when I say I don't trust the government. Like, I don't get this, man. This is crazy. This is madness. To sit up here and see that these buildings free fall in 6 seconds, I could have dropped something from the top of that building that would hit the ground at the same time. That's impossible.
It was building seven. It was a, I don't know, 36-story building, maybe 56. But you're right. It fell, and it didn't even hit
in
with
6 seconds.
Bridge.
Here's the point. If you know that and you suspect that, then how do you legitimize your animosity against Muslims, not all, but this group of freedom fighters, when you don't went over in their country, you depleted uranium armaments, which is causing burst effects, and so on and so on and so on. How are you minimizing their dissentment against the United States and her
because
NATO?
Because you're controlling the heroin co-ops and the heroin, you're taking
when Martin
that money,
Luther King
pumping
got
it
killed.
In and selling
white
drugs.
Celebrated all over the country.
And the thing I don't understand, again, is how could you judge another country and tell them they just want power? They just want, they'll respect only if we bomb them, kill them, and everything. I'm sorry. I know personally friends who are Muslim who doesn't believe that philosophy. I know personally friends who are Muslim who are in those countries who doesn't believe that philosophy. And for you to let me just finish. For you Americans, and a lot of Americans, you believe that philosophy of thinking the only way we can have respect with them is kill them. I'm sorry. I do not agree with that philosophy. And it has nothing to do with being smart. It has nothing to do. You are for pro-war. You are for
anti-American.
Exactly.
America was founded on the basis of religious freedom.
And I do not agree with your philosophy, and your philosophy is responsible for many more killing than 3,000 people around the world.
Let me ask you a question, though, Stanley. So if a person wants to kill you because of what they did, you're saying because we're American, we should just die? I understand what you're saying, but there are people.
Don't deny that there are people out there
that want to kill you, that do think that they're going to usher in this great, this last Mahdi or whatever they call it. They do believe. There are about 10% of them that do believe that. And we're talking about millions of people, so that's 100.
Okay, Alabama, you want to resolve the issue? I'll give you the perfect resolution. Let them talk to you about what they're going through. Let them have a court of justice that's neutral, that's put the United States on court, and tell them. Let them do like Six did, Pianchi did, and say, let's go through the history of what you've done, Americans, and let's put it on the table. Let's uncover it up. Let's go through the whole CIA thing, and let's show you why we
Hold on, Stanley, why do you scream when you talk?
Stanley be screaming.
No, let me tell you,
let them do the same thing that that Pianchi did. Let them tell them truth in front of everybody. The Chileans tried to do that, and we didn't do that. Let's not act like you're all acting like they attacked us. We attacked them.
Stanley, I'm being logical. I'm saying you're right, Stanley. We should not be calling these guys terrorists in Afghanistan. I agree. These are people that's the government of Afghanistan. They were running it. We came over. Now they're terrorists all of a sudden. So I agree with that. What I'm saying is there is a substantial amount of people within that faith out of 1.2 billion, that do believe. It's like maybe 8 to 10% that do believe in that. The burst of the sword, kill the infidel. They do believe that. And that's about almost 100 million people that think like that. So they do exist. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they exist here in the United States also, don't they?
Say what?
That type of sentiment exists in the U.S. also.
Yeah, they
think.
Exactly, think.
Yep.
When I hear them saying, let's go over and just kill them, I'm like, hold up now. I mean, you can't just drop a bomb and kill people. But
yeah, I'm not saying.
I'm going to put it like this. If you run a country and you get the president with all this mess that's taking place, You could go over there and talk, but that's been tried hundreds of years, thousands of years ago when Do you try to negotiate with these some people? They do take it as weakness. But we started it, though. So it's like we're in a mess now. I don't know what to do. I don't think the answer is you ain't going to just go sit and talk to these people. You're just not going to do that.
Hey,
I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, Alabama, here's the problem. You know, we didn't actually start it. This has been going on for years and years and years. This has been going on even before the United States was created. You know, these folks are dead, and when you don't have any freedoms, you know, it's either their way or no way. You know, these radicals.
Yeah, but they got a right to have it like that.
But Pianchi, what I'm saying is, I'm trying to explain it to you. It's their way or no way. Either you convert or die.
Let me ask you this.
Lady that got over there,
well, how did you become Christian?
The Sudanese girl. The Sudanese girl. She became.
How did you become Christian, Kavina, man?
I don't know how to get him. Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife. You pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the hospital. That's the Chicago ways. And that's how you get Capone. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that? I'm making you a deal. Do you want this deal?
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
You pull a knife, I pull a gun. Is that what he said?
Yep, that's what he said.
You know, we don't talk about that. We don't teach that in school anymore. You're looking at Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And we're at the end of our Wednesday. We've got about 10 minutes to go before the end of the day. I want to thank everybody for calling in. And I know I'm being hard on you guys. It's not that I don't love you, but you guys got to understand I've got to make this as clean and as precise as possible because we're truly trying to get out of this area and go across the globe. Just make sure his mic's on.
Yeah, turn.
Not just here on Blog Talk, but on XM Radio. We're trying to get into Sirius Radio, and we're also trying to get into syndication. That's the goal. And so if we're going to do this, we got to have a clean program. Who is that? That's Eric again. I don't know if he puts us on speaker or what. Hey, Larry's in the studio.
How you doing, Trace?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
It's a wonderful day.
It's a wonderful day, isn't it? The sun is shining. The weather is beautiful. Life is good. You guys are going to lunch without me. I can't. That's rude.
She brought ribs.
Oh, so where's my ribs?
You should have been there. I offered.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. She did offer.
I offered, and you guys, that was my lunch. I ate breakfast earlier, had lunch, and now I'm ready to go to work.
But did I hear Stanley right? I thought I...
What you want to know?
He said that Russia... Is that what he said?
He said we wouldn't have won World War II if it hadn't been for Russia.
Did he know that Russia was getting their teeth kicked in? And when America got into the war, instead of going right after Japan, they jumped into Europe and immediately declared war there. And had it not been Germany having to take those troops that was kicking Russia's teeth in and now put them down in Africa and get ready for the D-Day invasion, and actually the president pulled back guys like Patton. He didn't want them to go in. It was a political thing at that point.
Patton was rolling.
Yeah,
Patton set. They sat for a couple of weeks waiting on the Russians to get there. But it says here that the United States sent $11.8 billion to the Soviet Union and never asked for a dime of it back. That's in 1941 dollars.
Yeah.
You know,
Sticks,
the total package on the Lend-Lease Act is $656 billion in today's dollars, and the United States never asked for a nickel of that back from Europe.
But, Sticks, Russia put a hurt on Hitler's. Look at what were the tanks that the Russian had, the T-5. The T-5 has been voted number one in the top 10 tanks of the world because of the battles that it waged against Germany and mm-hmm. their panzers, and it destroyed them.
Well, the Russian winter is what destroyed Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler would have...
Right.
General
January
winter,
and General February.
Exactly. If it hadn't been for the Russian winter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Hitler was getting ready to run right over top of Moscow.
Yeah, he was. They were on the outskirts. They had already taken, Leningrad?
Yeah,
They were moving and got so far in, Tracy, that the two things, the winter and... It cut off their supply line.
He overran his supply lines.
Right.
And Stalin's scorched earth policy. Stalin burnt everything as they were leaving. He burnt everything, left nothing for the Germans to use. They either took
Russian women. Russian women disassembled factories, took them further north, and dug down below the permafrost in order to establish foundations and rebuild them in order to produce war goods. So we have to take – Russians showed admirable responsibility during World War II.
They did a sacrifice that none of us Americans could go. None of us Americans. They took a whole village and they sacrificed women, had weapons and everything. So I do not agree with your philosophy that you're saying. If Russia was –
That's not a philosophy.
Hold on. Stanley. Stanley. So, you guys –
Yeah, because if the United States, because all of Europe was done, right? Italy was part of it. They was in Africa, and that's not a philosophy.
I got a fact,
Stanley.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, what everybody fails to realize, we back-channeled a lot of supplies to them. Most of Russia's vehicles at the end of the war were American-made trucks. All kind of vehicles. That's just an example. We sent them piles of money, and it was at a crucial time when they were on the verge of taking Leningrad. I mean, we did help them pull out of that. They were on the verge of losing. It was that and the winter that did it.
That's what allies are supposed to do for one another.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. But just to say that they did it on their own, no, they didn't do it on their own.
No, come on. It was you guys just described it was a joint effort, but the campaign against the Japanese was going on at the same time. I just watched a documentary on that a few days ago. There were battles.
Exactly.
Except it didn't start going good for us until probably late 1943, early 1944.
And that's the punch in the mouth that Styx was talking about. You know, here, you want to surrender? No, you don't? Okay, we're going to drop this bomb on Hiroshima. You don't want to surrender? Okay, we're going to do it again. End of the game. Now you see what Japan is great friends with us. They finally they realized that, we can't do this no more.
And I'm sorry, and I disagree with the philosophy. That was wrong.
And you know what?
War is bad.
Hey, Brown, how you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning.
Good morning,
everyone.
So, what do you think about all this?
No, they've got a fairly accurate account of World War II. People just have a couple of slight opinion differences. But, you know, I've watched
All I know is America better learn from its past because it's getting ready to come back and bite them.
Oh.
Yeah, the Reichstag's fire was the same as 9/11.
Because this is not going to be a left-right thing. This is going to be, because if we're not careful, it's going to land in our own backyard.
What's going to land in our backyard?
Military combat.
We're
very, very spoiled. America has really never had a conflict on its own soil except for the American War.
The Civil War.
Chicago.
When
anybody, the Hatfields and the McCoys, the Civil War was pretty deep, but that was a long time ago. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, whenever people speak with certainty as if they know what's going to happen in the future, I shake my head because one thing I know for sure is that nobody can accurately predict the future with certainty. Nobody.
But then I'm supposed to believe, based on that statement, that CO2 is harmful to our environment, and then we're going to cut emissions at power plants by 30%, which is going to affect everybody.
That's tomorrow.
But
wow.
That's
you
what
went,
he's saying.
I took
he,
a
nobody
real
can predict
general,
the future
I took
except
a real,
these climate scientists.
I made a real general statement.
Okay.
I made a real general statement, and you found a way to reach
I'm,
into
here, I'll give you another
climate
statement.
Control debate.
I'll give you another statement. Though history has to repeat itself because guys like you weren't paying attention the first time.
Right. I would whomever you are, we could take $1,000 and we could take a long Jeopardy history test and I'll whip your butt.
Okay.
Please don't insult me like that. I'm very well versed in history.
Well, you're saying nobody can predict, and that's what Styx is saying, and that's what Tracy is saying.
You can't predict
some of the same stuff that's happening today. Happened already,
well,
and it led to other things.
All right,
it says that he who does not know his history will repeat it in the future. So we are what we're failing is, you know, everything is cyclical. It is what it is. It just goes round in circle. And so when you go, it's like we're playing football and you watch the films. And so you sit down and you watch your opponents, you watch the films, you watch the plays, you watch what's going to happen. And we see things happening in circles because there's nothing new under the sun. You're not going to get a new outcome for doing the same. If you do not study, you will not be as effective as if you do. And what's happening right now is we are becoming very, very lazy. Lazy people are not good fighters. Politically correct people, people that want to have good, you know, flower child people, you have a hard time going to war. But when it lands in your lap and it kills your kid, then what happens? And the problem with America is we want to go and we want all the freedoms, but we don't want to take all the responsibility for the freedoms that we have and then secure it. And right now we are up against a war on our freedoms, and I don't think we understand that. As we started the show off at the beginning of the day, we are very blessed to be the 4% who live in America, whether you like America or not.
Our
poor are still fortunate.
Yeah.
Our poor.
No, you're right. I'd rather be poor here than poor in somewhere other country. Let me ask you this, Tracy. Who do you think or what do you think is the biggest threat to our freedoms?
We are our own biggest threat. Americans are the demise of America. It will not be because of the Taliban. It will not be because of anyone else. If we lose our freedom, it will be because we gave them up ourselves.
Our apathy and ignorance
we've already lost some of our basic freedoms.
That's
a lot
the point.
Of our basic freedoms. We have no privacy. Okay,
that's the
there's
point.
There's a clandestine, huge behemoth of an organization that works with other governmental organizations that spies on us. Have any of you ever Googled your name?
That's
Google your name after you get off the show and look at all the stuff that pops up.
And what I'm saying is that's the point. The point is you, because I only have about a minute before I have to go. That is the point. And not only are you losing your freedoms because of your loss of anonymity on the Internet, if you just look at what is going on with everything else.
Well, the Patriot Act, which many of you are in favor of, is one of the biggest attacks on our freedoms that there has been.
And it continues to be renewed.
I agree.
Being renewed. It's on steroids now, and President Obama has taken it to levels beyond your imagination. I'm going to bring somebody on who's going to talk to us about the facial recognition, Janus, J-N-U-S.
But you got to remember, there's a life cycle of every great society. And it goes from bondage to courage, from courage to prosperity, from prosperity to apathy, and from apathy back into bondage. And I'm afraid right now we're in the apathy to bondage phase.
And we're heading towards bondage.
Well, America's not going to remain in the position that it is. It's going to disintegrate also. But Styx, I was going to ask you real quick, how much money did DuPont, Standard Oil, and International Harvester, and maybe a few others make off of World War II?
Good grief, trillions.
Yeah,
trillions.
I mean, it wasn't
providing
the
Germans
Ford Motor Ford Motor Company.
U.S. Steel, Bethlehem Steel, all of them made money.
And they still making money. They still making money off of what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and every place else. The bankers always make money.
I gotta go, guys. But listen, we talk about Halliburton, and we keep, during the Bush administration, all you could hear about was Halliburton, Halliburton. Halliburton's been around since the 1950s and 60s, and they've been rebuilding agencies and companies all that time. And we used it as a crutch because we didn't like Cheney. But we need to understand Halliburton is a monster that nobody wants to talk about because Halliburton still doesn't go away even now. We'll be back. God bless you. Have a good day, and we'll see you on tomorrow. Hey, Larry, it's good seeing you.
You too. I'm
believing the good of all mankind. This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and...
That's why I come out like Ron Paul's ideology. Leave these other countries the heck alone.
Well, I agree with you, Pianchi. I love Ron Paul. When he was the only one that told the truth and say, your supply was 9/11, that's what happened when you basically blast them ass and your supply by 9/11 happened. And no American wants to tell the truth about that. No American knows their history. No American knows what really happened. And then they're surprised 9/11 happened. You're lucky 9/11 happened.
But Stanley, do you really believe 9/11 happened because of what they tell you? That's all I'm saying. I really think they wanted to do that to make money.
Well, I think there's a lot more than 9/11 that you're saying that I agree with you. There's a lot more that we don't want to know, that they don't want to tell us. But that those people basically took airplanes and basically destroyed those planes, every American acting like, I don't understand that it happened. Really?
No, I mean, these guys, Stanley, these guys stayed on American military bases. I mean, these guys were training, working for the FBI, the hijackers. They actually are, like, you can find documentation. It's just too much evidence out there. Even the people that are supposed to investigate, there's footage of them. And they're getting caught up in lies, and they're just screaming at the reporters. But we'll look that up. We'll find out. And they never report back to the people. It's just too many holes out there.
I know. I agree with you.
You know, the only war I would like to see the United States get into is a war, all-out war against Britain and France. I would support that. Get rid of those two of the three devils, then the one devil left wouldn't be able to do as much as all three of them.
But we work for them, though. Our country pretty much works for them. We work for the Bank of England. So that probably never happened. They don't want to hear that. When you say Bank of England and Rothschilds, it's almost like they never existed, ever. Like, it's like these families don't exist. They never make any Forbes list. And one guy came out, he mysteriously died of cancer real quick and sudden. It's just, I don't know, man.
And the thing I don't understand, and one person, we sound like we're supposed to be very proud that we're the only country around the world that decided to act to basically take a nuclear bomb and basically drop it on some innocent people and kill them. That's supposed to make you proud?
Yeah, while they were talking peace with you, too.
You know?
I mean, my only point I would make is that there are people, what would you do if it's just 200,000 people, which is nothing? If there are just 200,000 people that are willing to come over and kill, and as soon as they get a chance, they're going to do it, what would you do? And there are people like that.
See, that's what we get.
Out of a billion people, 900 million of them are just going to live their lives, like you say, and be left alone. And I agree with you. They probably would if we left
them
alone.
Absolutely they would be. They don't have
no chance. If you got just 1 million, 1/10 of 1% that want to do damage, that's a problem. Now, how would you handle that? That can be.
And there's different ways to handle it. Either you want to kill them or you find out how come they have a problem. And that's the thing, Americans, you don't want.
I mean, but if you, but I'm saying, no, if you say, like, if you study, there's a book called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam, and it explains a lot of this. There are some people, I'm just saying, there are people in this world that want to see Islam take over the whole world. They want you, you know, as an atheist, they're going to come and put a gun in your head, if they can, and say you're either going to convert or die. This actually took place in Africa before we were enslaved and before Islam swept through Africa. We had our own religion. They came over. That's why most of Northern Africa and West Africa is Islamic now, because they came in and they converted those people. And if they didn't convert, they either died or they pay. They, if they do let them live, they have to pay a tax called a jizya.
The same applies to Central and West Africa with Christianity, don't it?
Exactly. So I can see this.
No. That's not. No. I'm not trying to go into that. Well, bunk Christianity. I'm not even getting into that. Okay, whatever. I'm talking about that's how they operate. So I'm saying with Islam,
you know,
we're talking about Islam. We're not talking about Christianity. But we're talking about Islam. So I want to know what would we do. I want to hear something besides sitting and talking, because some of these people are not. They think their ideal is to convert you, and that's it. I mean, so I'm trying to understand. That's the only thing. I wish we could just say, you know what, leave them alone, because I'm all with you. I agree with Ron Paul. But there are people like that. And
well,
they are,
what,
and not all these
people
are poor
like
and riding horses. Not all of them are poor and riding horses. Some of them got money. They know how to do things. So what's your answer for that?
Well, I know there's people like that, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You got Western power that will support people like that in order to get a hedge on what their agenda is too. And it goes on. I mean, this most recent thing with this Boko Haram, we all concentrate on Boko Haram, but you turn a blind eye when it comes down to looking at who's supporting them and where they get their supplies from.
I agree, but what I'm saying is we all agree with that. Nobody on this phone disagrees with that. I'm just saying, what would you do to fix it? Because I haven't heard a real good answer. I just haven't. Like, because there's a lot of...
The thing I would ask you, also, you make it sound that every person that became radical was not able to be converted by talking to them. There's many radicals who decided to change their mind because there were people who basically sit down with them and showed them there's a better way to do this.
Stanley, I'm going to say this right here. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Stanley, because who wants to – I'm not saying I want to go and see people get killed and do certain things. I hope you're right. But let's just say in some bizarro world that there's a small remnant that will not – that see it the way I just described.
Yeah.
Out of a billion people. Let's say you got 200,000 people, which ain't that big. That's a small city in America. But you got 200,000 people that will give their life any chance. As soon as they get a chance, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So you basically, out of a billion people.
Yeah, but they do it based on what?
Based on their belief.
They're doing it because we all agree.
On retaliation.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about retaliation. Because if you retaliate and you're saying that we pull out, if we got in there and actually pulled out, we might could actually talk some people down off that. But you ain't going to talk everybody. Now, that's just unreal. That's like me trying to convince Stanley to be a Christian. It's just not going to happen unless God does it. That's another story.
Wait. It would happen if you would come with good, objective reality. If you would basically show me tomorrow, hey, here's God, and show it to me right life, and I could come to Jesus, I'd be like, damn, you're right.
The point I was trying to make is also, well, America did this and Christians did. I'm not talking about that. Okay, fine. We know history. What I'm saying is pull people back. It's not all this, hey, we just don't want to, we're just going to go ahead and go our ways. Almost what I'm saying is it sounds like it's some sort of kumbaya theory that they're just going to go sit down and we'll all be pulled out.
If you want to change the theory of that, you got to first see them as human beings. We don't even see them as human beings. We don't even put ourselves in their shoes. We don't even say to ourselves, let's see, how would I react if I was in their shoes? We don't even look at
them. Stanley, before America existed,
even
these people thought way back in 500 A.D., they thought like this. I'm just trying to tell you that you're not going to convert these people because it's a religious.
I do not agree with you.
It's a religious way. They look at it through religion, man. They do.
Okay, okay.
Okay. The first step to changing anybody is to understand their world. We don't even understand their world. We try to judge their world the way we see it. We don't judge their world the way they see it. We don't even sit down with them and say, you know what? Before you try killing me and everything, let me see what do you see. Let me see what
okay,
you
so Stanley, if they're trying to usher in the return of the Mahdi, right, and this is their religion, and this is what they believe, and they're trying to usher in the return of the Mahdi, and they want to have the last caliph established and take over the whole world, they want to do that, right?
Yes.
I struggle reconciling what you just said as far as seeing it through their world, and then because okay, fine. If me understanding their world is going to stop them from thinking that way, no, it's just going to understand it.
Yes, it is.
What practical
but you know what?
Steps
did
can
not
be
Jesus,
taken? I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to shut up. What practical steps can be taken to stop them from going out and killing people? If it's just a small remnant, okay, fine. You know, it's 1.2 billion Muslims. We're not getting into that no more. But what I'm saying is, if it's just 200,000 Muslims that are able to really do some damage, what would you do once they tell you that that's what they think?
I tell you exactly
fact,
how you can stop
that.
Go ahead. Have your government to stop funding them. That's how you stop it. But you know, that same premise, Jesus told his disciples to do the same thing that any caliph or Muhammad. And I don't know very much about Islam to get into the details. But they all told their quote-unquote disciples to do the same thing, to go out and prophesy. And that's exactly what you see that was going on. But, you know, when you look back upon history, Hitler made a grave mistake, too. He tried to align with Britain when he should have aligned with Russia.
Yeah, that was a mistake. But the thing is, you got to understand their world. Then you got to find a way to finally go to the cross of their belief, and then you got to switch their belief to make them see there's a better way. And I'm sorry, there's many people who have a strong belief. I believe I need to do this. And
Stanley, I'm not going to say you. Hold on, let me make a point. I'm not going to say you, but me trying to go and convince certain people that a building falling in 5 seconds, 6 seconds, a 600-foot building falls in 6 seconds is not normal. And they still don't want to believe you.
You can't do that.
I'm just saying, like that.
They
don't. I mean, no, because they've been. Those people got to either die off or something. Just like with all this stuff gets declassified, Pionki, about how we got in the Gulf of Tonkin, how we got in World War II with prior knowledge of the done Pearl Harbor. We want to get in. We know this now.
And that's another point.
Have you seen a major ad campaign telling people, "Hey, you are caught wrong in history"? Most people
but
still think
out.
That we didn't know nothing about it.
Check this out. When documents become declassified by quote-unquote 9/11, that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel back. I think that's when Americans are going to start pulling out their guns.
No, it's not. They're going to cut the TV on it. A lot of stuff is declassified, and a lot of people just going to cut the TV on and watch basketball-wise.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's my only point, man. It's just that I agree. I think those guys aren't terrorists. They're normal. They do what you and I would do. I'd take a gun and go blow somebody, try to kill somebody. If they come trying to, you know, they dropping drones on my family, I would do the same thing. But at the same time, I agree. So everybody's not a terrorist. And when they say Taliban, it irks me because I'm sitting like, wasn't it? I understood. I actually watched the news. They said the Taliban was the government of Afghanistan. If that's the case, these guys aren't terrorists. Why are they saying
you know
they're terrorists? And I don't even like that. You know I don't like Obama. But fair is fair. These guys aren't really terrorists. They're not.
But if you look at actually it was the United States and Britain that created Third Reich because they were giving money to Hitler. But you know, it's the black nations around the world that roll over to what Convenient Man always comes about.
Actually, Hitler got his money. Hitler got his money from the Rothschilds, the family of the Rothschilds. They actually funded him, and they funded us.
They
did this with Hitler. They did it with Napoleon. They funded both sides of Napoleon. When he went down, they was funding both sides. That's our old playbook there.
Yeah, and it still works. Old end-around play that still works.
That's what they're doing in Africa right now, because if those people they're getting upset about the oil. Africa got more oil than the Middle East. They're finding out about it. So they're funding both sides to destabilize so they can keep doing what they do. I mean, they don't like to hear the truth, but that's the truth. That's the thing.
Well, it's all about who's going to sell oil to India and China. And that's what you see playing down.
Well, the China, they ain't waiting on nobody to sell it to them. China going over there and taking it. They going over there. They going over there and taking gold out of people's out of land. They don't even need a. They not having deeds. They'll go over there. The Chinese will send their men over there broke. They'll go over there and just dig without no permission, without nothing. Take it, and then the country, like when you say something, these governments over in Africa, you say something, they'll try to start a suit. Me just staying over there taking the stuff, just taking it. And then they try to hit them with a fine or something. It might be a $100,000 fine or something. They done took millions and millions in gold. It's just, man.
Well, that's not entirely true, but.
Dude, I read that. That's exactly what's going on over there. Chinese are in Ghana right now, digging up the resources and taking it without asking.
They got ran out of the Ashanti region. You don't take gold out of them countries just like that. You try to, how you going to go through the airport? When you go to the airport, what are they confiscated? It has to be done the correct way. Absolutely.
Okay. So the Chinese ain't in Africa just doing what we... Okay.
No, they are not. That's some more of the ghetto legends.
Ghetto legend.
You go to my posting on LIV, and you see all the pictures I've taken of... up in Takoradi in the Ashanti region, where we was mining gold in the same area.
Just because there's some region
doing
over in
exactly
Africa where some Africans are mining the gold does not necessarily mean that
Ghana.
What I'm saying is not true for the whole continent. That's what I'm saying.
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't go over there and do it like that.
Okay.
Yeah, if that was the case, it would be. Well, that's just not the case. But I tell you what, Black faces and nations around the world, for some reason or another, would just roll over when it comes down to the United States and her NATO posse doing the things that they try to get away with. And a lot of them are playing China against the U.S., which I applaud them.
Look, nobody's Africa's friend. Nobody's a friend to African nations. Everybody, every nation's coming into Africa taking. They're not coming over there saying, hey, we're gonna treat you fair because we're Russian or we're Chinese. No, they're coming over thinking for themselves. Just everybody's acting in their best interest.
Those are individuals. Those not necessary governments. You know, Black Americans could be doing the same thing. Business people.
Chevron and Exxon are individual companies, but they look at. That's when I say that. That's what I'm talking about. That's who. It's not American troops over there. Those are companies coming over there doing this stuff.
You got companies and individual entrepreneurs that. Go over and they stake their cane. Chinese going over there marrying African women, especially those who have
access
to land.
You're not
going
to fly. No, hold on. Another thing. When it comes to taking something out, let's say we go to America right now. We in Alabama. I'm actually in Atlanta, but let's say I'm in Alabama. I dig up some gold, right? I want to ship it somewhere. I go down to the pier in Mobile. I load it up on a boat. I send it off. They don't check every boat, right? So this stuff just going. They only check it like maybe what 5% of what's going through. You tell them whatever. So there's no way they can monitor everything going in and out of Africa.
You can't bring gold into the United States unless you can show how you got it. If not,
I'm not talking
US
about
customs.
You. I'll just use that as an example for you. Okay? I was just saying that you cannot monitor everything that flows in. That's like saying, well, you can't bring drugs in, so they can't. There's no drugs in America. Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Yeah,
but
they catch you with drugs, you'll go to jail, but tell that to the government. They don't want to sit
But technically, you can't bring X number amount of gold through our airport when U.S. Customs would confiscate it if you can't show legitimate proof how you came about it.
The Chinese don't care about this. You do know they don't care nothing about that, right?
About what?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
The question I want to ask, you think that if tomorrow we decide to say that drug is legal, every drug, it would be better or it would be worse?
I think
a lot of the killing will stop.
I think it'll be better. I think what's happening, it's a black market, though. You got a monopoly on the market. You're operating with impunity, free from the government, because you work for the government. Why would you want it legal? You got a monopoly. I mean, you let some of these other brothers that's real smart with drugs start getting into the game and legitimately, They don't want that. They want to keep it where you go to jail if you get caught with a seed. Meanwhile, I can ship metric tons of stuff every week, every day, and make millions and millions of dollars. I mean,
That's the same reason why I come to NAACP, Stanley, is against school choice, because you got black teachers that belong to Black Teachers Union as members of NAACP is paying dues, and if you've done away with any of that, it's going to hurt their pockets.
Yeah. Because I'm sorry to say, I've seen drugs, I've seen everything, but I never thought in my mind I'm going to use it. And some people want to use it as a product. So people want to buy. If drugs wasn't in demand, people wouldn't sell it. It's a business thing. I'm a seller. I'm basically selling you something that you want.
I don't toe the line on Republican because I don't do that. That's it. But I do think that when it comes to certain things like drugs, I don't see it as a good thing. But if you're stupid enough knowing that, okay, yeah, we still, it's legal, but if you come in here high and it's in your system, you're not going to get a job.
Yeah, it's your own responsibility. It's your own thing. Because then it cuts out all the people in prison. How many people are in prison because of drugs? They're not even in prison because they killed somebody, they murdered somebody. They just are in prison because they had drugs in their hand or drugs in this. I'm like, really? You're going to jeopardize the life of somebody for having a drug that he decided to take?
Well, not just that, but they made it now. They actually made it where you could be in the car with somebody that got drugs.
Oh, yeah, that too. Exactly.
Yeah, but many jobs you can't be impaired. You know, in my business, you couldn't have people there, even though some were on drugs. And, you know, for us to even start a job, even me myself had to pass drug tests.
I mean, that's just like most black kids. I mean, you're coming up in a poor neighborhood. I mean, you're going to know drug dealers. You're going to be in cars with them. You're going to, but then again, nobody's really saying that about the prison industry. That's not even talked about. The black urban league, they're not really getting into those issues. They're talking about jobs. They're not really dealing with that. But that's just as bad as Jim Crow.
Yeah.
When you take a person and say for the next 50 years of his life, he's going to be denied certain rights. I mean,
when they were sick.
That's not Jim Crow. It's exactly the same, actually. So it's like,
how they lock up a person that's using drugs. The person using drugs because they're addicted. That's a sickness.
Exactly. Or they're using drugs because they want to escape whatever they are going in life. And instead of resolving the issue, like, I don't have enough money or I'm bad or this and that, you don't want to resolve it. They say, let's put you in prison. It's better. You're not resolving the issue. The drug.
Let's be honest, man. I mean, if they really wanted to solve a lot of issues, like, if you really want to solve issues, like, I'm going to tell you, I know they're talking with me about reparations, but if they did that and they made it, and it wasn't just a check, but it was some sort of way where it promoted business and you got some sort of benefit saying you get a grant if you're a slave descendant, that'll fix a lot of crime in the black community, because in places like Chicago, there are a lot of people that are complaining and doing stuff. It's not like those people in Chicago are just sitting there while people are getting killed and they cool with it. They upset, but they don't have the resources. But if you provide a person the way, an avenue by which to get out and empower themselves, it'll kind of stop that. And most people know that. The problem is they don't want it. They're not even going to push it on either side because, let's be honest, if you're weak, I can use you. If you're strong, you may not agree with everything I say, and then you're going to start disagreeing. Now I got to really come and do something for you for real. But if you're strong, if you're weak, I can tell you whatever I want to tell you. And you got to do it. I can do whatever. You're going to defend whatever I do, whatever move I make, you're going to defend it. Just like a man when he's cheating on his woman, but he's good in bed. It don't make no difference because he's putting it down.
And I agree with you. It's like the business thing, I so much agree with you. So much. I'm so tired of black people saying we need to have a job. No, you need to own something. That's what you need to do. Because a job.
Man, I was just talking yesterday with my homeboy from high school. He was talking about, man, the answer ain't financial. I said, yes, it is. No, man, we need to go back to the ancient religion of our ancestors, and this is going to fix this. I said, man, look, we can all go back to that. You still going to have people stealing. You still going to have people that don't have character. I know some of the most deep brothers you want to see can't get off weed, can't get a job, but they got all the knowledge in the world. That don't mean nothing.
Exactly.
And you can't, I'm like, man, bump that. I want all this knowledge. Black folks got a lot of knowledge. I give them that. It's a lot of things ain't there. It's a lot of brothers with knowledge, but they don't own and control nothing.
And that is one of the issues that we have to stop telling our kids, go get a job. No, take your degree and do something about it and create something with it that you could own power. Because
man, bump the degree. I said that Stanley when I was dating my ex. And she had a fit. She's like, I ain't going to tell my kids. I said, I ain't telling them to go to college. They want to go to college, it's going to be because they're a doctor, a lawyer, something like that. Other than that, I mean, don't go to college unless you really see an economic benefit from it. Because
yeah,
you
absolutely
can get
right.
IT with a doggone, you can get an IT with a 6-month certificate from some junior college and make $100,000 a year. It's not real.
You're absolutely right, man.
I've worked for people that don't have a hot college degree. So that's a bunch of
all. You're absolutely right. There's about I've seen a list of jobs that you can get that requires a high school diploma, and some of them pay over $100,000 a year.
Yeah. And there's many ways. There's many things that, as a businessman, I'm telling you, there's many things. You can even have your own business and don't even know the thing of IT and hire people in the background that's doing the thing for your business.
Man, all you got to do is know how to drive trucks. Driving trucks, you bet. And just manage your money. If you know how to manage money, you can work and make a job making $30,000 a year, and in 10 years, you can be a millionaire. I know that sounds far-fetched, but it's not. Because if you manage money, that's the key. If you manage them, if you ain't going buying this and taking trips and tricking off and doing, and you're taking your money, you're saving it, you're living on less than you make, you're keeping your credit up. Just little stuff like that, little bitty stuff that we don't think is going to make the difference. And you come back in 5 to 10 years, that person will be wealthy or in a very good situation.
Or take the $30,000 salary that you're taking from a job and basically say, how could I take that $30,000 and make it $300,000? Go get a business owner or somebody with a business who explains to you how to do that, and you have security. So then if your boss or anybody fires you and say you're gone, you're not going to be stressed. You're like, I don't care. I got
that's right. You told me you sat with that Jewish guy, Stanley, and he talked to you and told you all this different stuff. Jews, you know, people don't like this. Jews got dogged out, too. In America.
Oh, Jews, they're smart. It's a Jewish word. Yeah.
That's right, but what did they do? Black, that's the model right there. That's the key. What did the Jews do? What actions did they take? Because they were dogged out just like us. And a lot of them had big nose and looked, you know, they just couldn't hide. So what did they do?
Yeah.
We need to do the same thing.
They took their money all together. They have a little pot. He explained me that. He said, how did you get – I'm sorry. This guy has so much money. He went to Manhattan and said, that's mine. That's. I was like, you must be joking. No, I'm not. All those places are rented.
I'm going to tell you something,
Stanley. Properties.
Stanley, let me ask you a question. If Trayvon Martin's dad had been a wealthy guy in the community and owned a lot of material, like stuff, and he gotten shot, what would have been the outcome? Although George Zimmerman, his dad's Jewish, right? One of them, he's half Jewish, too. But I don't think Zimmerman
part of a religion?
Say what?
He's part of a religion?
Well, not only that, but his people, he got money. Like, and that's the thing that Jason Black was saying. White people
but
put their money
the club.
Behind. They put their money, they believed in it, and they sent millions of dollars for that guy to get off.
But you said he was part Jewish, so I'm confused on that. I hear people
when
say,
I mean heritage genetically part Jew. I ain't talking about the religion.
I don't know of any biological Jews. Jews are a person that follow a religion or one of the club.
Okay. Well,
basically.
At any rate, he's genetically whatever, however you want to look at it. If somebody in his family was either following or whatever. But he's connected into the same amount of Jews like Donald Sterling and the people, 27 of them, that own
the
teams in the NBA. Exactly.
That's the club.
And 27 of them, I think it's 29 teams, and 21 of them are Jews. Basically, the NBA is a Jewish league. We just don't know it. So when Larry Johnson came out and said we need to have a black league, people criticized him. Oh, that's racist. But we really have a Jewish league. We just don't know it because teams can't play basketball 90% of the time. They just out there, but they own the team, though.
I agree with you. I agree with you. The whole – the when you go to the business, I so much agree with you. And I tell that to all family members. As soon as they have their degree in college, they do something with that college degree. Don't expect a job with it. If you have a job, do something with the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 because that's not enough to live. Except if you want to work for the rest of your life for somebody, that's not enough to live.
No, man, I was working as a produce manager making $29.5. I saved up some money, and I went and bought signs off the Internet, right? I bought some signs that said, handyman, jobs, you know, real cheap, give me a call. That's all I said. Put my phone number on there. Man, I got so many jobs, I had to go take the signs up. I couldn't handle it. I was managing it. I almost got fired from the job because I was just leaving on my lunch break. I had 3 or 4 jobs going at the same time. And I would let – see, I wasn't greedy. I let the contractors have most of the money that I would sub the workout to. I would get like 20%. And, you know, they'll just – you know, I just – you know, so whatever they tell me, I just put 20% on the top. And, man, I was – and that's just with some signs and a phone. That's all I did. And some gas. And I went and bid, and then I would bid. Sometimes I would come out bid the price because I had this one guy. He would – I knew he – I would whatever I bid, he would want 50% of it. So I would just go bid a price, call him, tell him what I did, and me and him kind of knew each other, so it wasn't like he was greedy. But a lot of times I let him still have 75% because I wanted that loyalty. And, man, I was busy. And this is just off some signs, man. A lot of people don't try. They just don't.
Yeah. There's one thing I've read and one thing I truly believe, and I remember in that book in Robert Kiyosaki, they ask him the question, how did you go get a Ferrari and all those things? And he says, screw my business. If I didn't have the money to my business, I don't go get those things. If I say to myself, look, I need to have this and that, a house of this, okay, I have to find a way to make $100,000 or whatever to my business. And then I take that money and I do it through my business. I don't do it through
Stanley,
through
I've saved up since I've been working since January on this project. I saved up a sizable amount. I'm not going to go get no car. I'm not. I'm riding a Chevy Cobalt. It's cheap. It's my mom's car. I just paid a car note for her. She got another car. I just ride it. I'm not going to buy another car. Like, I could probably go get a nice, real expensive car, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take this money, and I'm putting down on some property, and that's why I'm looking at some units, and I'm being real smart about what I buy because I'm not going to just buy whatever I see. But I'm looking at property, and I'm finna create some wealth around this thing. I ain't playing. That's what it takes, man. I ain't trying to brag because, shoot, I mean, hey, I made mistakes in the past. But at the same time, if you're not making any moves, you're not trying nothing, shut up. And there's a lot of brothers out there, man. I'm talking about they'll sit there and talk about history and ancient commitment. But, man, what moves are you making? Well, man, you know, I got this job and I got this car note. I got wife and kids. I can't do it, man. I mean, you know, you single. You ain't got no kids. See, you ain't no real – you know, you. One guy told me I'm not a real man because I don't have kids and a wife. Like, which I didn't understand. But that's what I'm saying.
Really, you're not a real man because you don't have a wife and kids. But would you rather have a wife and kid and have no money to finance to have them?
I mean, he makes a decent salary, but the problem is every time I've done something, me and been high school boys since like elementary. But every time I've done something, he'd be like, I'm going to do it, and never made a move. Never, and I think he has paralysis. He's just scared to pull the trigger on a lot of stuff.
And a lot of people are scared. When they're more fearful of owning a business, they're not fearful of having a job.
But you know what, though? Owning a business, it's like a fight. Like, you're scared. When you get in there, you take that first lick, oh, you good.
You never want to turn back.
Yeah, you're like, man, you know, I took this first lick, and then you win the fight. Yeah, I actually won a couple of fights. I actually walked out of the lawyer's office with a nice check, a yearly salary, a couple of times. So I'm like, you know what? I ain't ever going to think like the normal. That'll change your life,
you
right?
Never,
that'll never make you think the same.
Yeah, you never go back. Once you get that first sale and you say, that's it, and you see that money, you never go back. You're like.
And then, you know, I know personally I didn't even put the man hours in physically myself. I just orchestrated.
Exactly.
I just got out, made a few phone calls. Did this, did that, and then, you know, this was when the real estate market was booming. I had houses, man, I sold a house. I bought this house, and 2 months later, I made $80,000 off of it.
Yeah,
and
even,
I was just
even,
like,
yeah, even
then,
if you
then
put
2 months after that, I made another 40. You couldn't
yeah,
tell
even,
me nothing.
Exactly. Even if you put the man hours, let's say you did $1,000 of doing your business, but the thing you don't understand is for the rest of your life, you're going to get paid for that $1,000. So maybe the first
yeah.
year you make it $20,000-$30,000, but then you find out later on, 5 years, hey, I still have my business that's making me $60,000-$70,000.
If I had an
18-year-old
– go ahead, Stanley. Go ahead, my bad.
No, I agree with you. If I tell them, put the $1,000. Yeah, but I'm not getting paid. No, you are getting paid over time. You're going to get paid more than you ever will in your life.
And a lot of people – I'm going to tell you what black people mess up at. They try to keep their tax returns under $15,000, $20,000. Like, you ain't finna be able to borrow no money. This is a capitalistic society. You can't borrow money making $15,000 a year. Go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, learn the system, learn the tax system so that you can have enough deductions where you're not taking a high blow on taxes, but enough where you can borrow money, at least $40,000 a year. Don't just, a lot of black folks, especially people that got their own business, they cut hair or fit. And I ain't pay no taxes. I got a refund. Yeah, but let's go to the bank. I can't partner with you. We can't go to the bank. We can't borrow no money. You don't have good spending habits, saving. So you don't have any capital to go to the bank and put down. You know, it's like you see what's going on. You know the rules. Learn the rules, and win and go for it. But if you don't want to, if you're not willing to put the time in to learn about taxes and credit and the little bitty stuff that you waste in the club buying bottles. And showing off, taking trips, doing dumb things and say, I'm going to take this and I'm gonna put this here and I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to do this. And then next year, you don't have to work as hard because you bought a couple of properties and you make $2,000 a month off of.
Yeah, and be disciplined. When you see your paycheck, tell yourself every time I have a paycheck, I'm going to put aside 20, 25%. And out of the 25%, I'm going to put in three bank things, one for saving, one for business, and one for basically tying, like they say, giving back to the community.
Well, one thing I did with money, I got stuff I got to pay, right? I got the money, but before I pay it off, I want to have a large amount. So I'm saving more. So when I do make these payments, it's not going to clean my account out because something could happen. And I could be broke. I could be messed up. So I want to save up way more than what I need. Because, yeah, you're like, okay, I paid my bills. You can pay your bills on time and pay your debt off, but I'm a contractor, so I could go in tomorrow and lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to be smart. I can't just say, you know what, I'm going to take every penny in the bank account and go pay this and pay that, and that's going to leave me a couple of thousand. That's not intelligent because, okay, now you lose your job. I wait until I get a sizable amount, and then you make those payments. To where,
yeah.
you pay off, you take $3,000, you're not going to even feel it. You know, okay, well, I took it out, but I still got another $14 over here, I'm good. But if you try to save up, $3,000, you say, I'm going to go, did something happen? I've had that happen. I had to learn, but that's part of learning how to manage money. You got to have those skills to manage it. And that's
yeah,
a challenge. And if you got money management skills, that'll fix 90% of the issues that black people face. I'm talking about you can work at McDonald's, man. If you got money management skills, you ain't going to be there for long.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's the thing that if you see that you, let's say you own, okay, how much do I have to pay? And you look at a bill and everything. I try to basically look at a bill and say, okay, I got to find a way to have that bill for 6 months paid. And I do the same thing as you. It says, okay, 6 months, it's this, time that. So I don't get stressed. So for 6 months, I am free of that bill.
Yeah.
Then I take that money of the bill that I'm free of and put it back in the business.
Well, see, the problem is women a lot of times, and this is something that if Diva was here, she'd probably scream. But a lot of women, especially black women, don't understand. You can't be fabulous. You can't have everything. You can't look a certain way. You can't be going shopping because every time some event come up, you go shopping. So that hurts a lot of times because it stops men from being able. When you with that woman to make certain decisions, you can't go out. I can't go out and put this money down and buy this quadruplex I see that needs some work because this woman, we take this trip and we spent this and I bought her this and she don't think I love her unless I'm doing something for her. Or, And I know women like that, and it's sad, but that's one of the biggest problems is women and their spending habits, because women spend, what, 70 cents of every dollar in the black community come out of women's hands.
No, I mean, let's not even go there. That's one part. The other part is the standard. I put the blame on both. The standard that men, we stop having standards versus the black women. We stop having standards as black society also. We accepted. I'm sorry. Yesterday I watched a show, The Biggest Loser, Extreme Weight Loss, whatever, with Chris Powell. You should have seen how many black women were basically big, and they were all basically saying, it's normal to be big that way. You're good. Until
girl,
basically
you thick, girl. I'm thick.
Exactly. You're thick. Until the professional, which was Chris Powell, basically showed the whole family was basically eating, 300 pounds and everything. And he basically said, let me show you what it is. And the girl was 18 years old. She weighed 325. That's where the family was like, shit.
But see, I was dating a chick, Stanley. I was dating this chick some years ago, and she was working at Best Buy in Montgomery. She's making like $16 an hour. That's pretty good money. But she had bad spending habits, right? So she would come back and tell me what other guys would be saying to her. So she would be up to work complaining, wearing her emotions on her face. Some guy would come up, where your man at? Why your man at? I'm like, first of all, we're not married. You ain't my wife. And I'm handling my business, because this is when I had my first house, right? It took me 2 years to do it because I did it out of my pocket. But she was listening to those guys. And she's like, you know what? He got a point. That's why we kept getting an argument. He got a point. Where is my man? Man should kick in. All right, well, I got a house. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm trying to make some moves and do some things with my, with my money so I can not have to punch a clock. And at the time, I even had my own business. I was washing cars mobily at the time. But you got so many trick dudes out here that just think a real man going to pay his woman bills. And I'm just sitting like, for what? Because she sleep, but she laying in bed with me, so I got to pay all her bills? Not until we get to that level where we're married, then yeah. But if we're dating, I should have to pay your bills. I'm sorry.
Oh,
and
he
could have found out she was a hoe. When it all boiled down, she was a hoe anyway. So I'm like, I'm glad I didn't give her no money.
Oh, I had a huge argument with my girlfriend about that. She was like, when we met the first time, you didn't pay my things and everything. I was like, whoa, when we met the first time, I didn't know you from Jack Clark. So I ain't going to pay the movie and this and that. You're paying your part, I'm paying my part. We're dating. Well, but other guys would have paid the bill. Well, go out with those other guys.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about a black woman when she got a big butt and a pretty face. She just think she's entitled. She's been raised to think she's entitled to. She's entitled to my hard-earned money. Just because I had to get out of bed and go get, because she think, okay, I kissed you. I went out on a date. I held your hand. I mean, you should at least, give me X. You should give me $100. I ain't got to give you nothing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I wouldn't raise my daughter to think like that.
And they think that just because they have health issue and everything, they come back to you and they're trying to make you feel guilty, even though you're like, babe, I'm really concerned about your health. Well, you should be concerned. 10-20 guys are dating, are basically cruising me in front.
Man.
They have no problem with me. And I'm like,
but see, Stanley, I'm going to tell you something, man. You from Haiti, right?
Yeah.
Look here, man. I done been to the Dominican Republic about 10 times. I know women that look, I know what a good-looking woman is supposed to look like. Let's just put it like that. I done been to Africa. I done been to Brazil. I done been, man, trust me. When I tell you, I know what beautiful women are supposed to look like. So when I say something, I'm not coming from why you don't look like some video chick. I know it's countries full of thousands of women, millions of them, that look like this on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly.
So don't tell me it's unrealistic when I know for a fact I can go to Santo Domingo or Santiago for $300 round trip. And see that, and they crazy about me. And they ain't got no attitude because they hopping on the back of a scooter going to work. Holding on to the dude. They not cute. They like, okay, I ain't got time to be cute. We ain't got no money in third world country. So they cool. They more down to earth. And that's what a lot of brothers will start to figure out is, man, we can leave this country. That's why a lot of them being stuck, getting stuck because you don't want to work out. And you got these women in Brazil. Now, oh, they working out. They taking fat and putting it in their butt. And hips and making sure they look, they giving you what you want, because they know that's what a man wants.
No. When I went to Brazil, that was one of the best trips ever. I didn't see no fat women. I was basically looking, let me go to this city. One.
And then the problem is they'll say, well, you talking about you on all this black nationalism, but you show like them foreign women. I'm like, baby, Brazilians are more, it's more black people in Brazil than America. It's more black people. It's more black people in Colombia than in America.
I understand. I was very disliked. Yesterday could have been the last day I would have been single. I was very close to breaking out with my girlfriend. She was like, well, you know what? You should accept it. Fuck you, you know? You should accept me for my weight. And I'm like, wait a minute. You have a problem with weight and I should accept it? Let me reserve this to you. If I lose money and I have no money, you should accept me being broke. Let me tell you that.
I'm going to tell you like this. My girl was with me when I was broke, but it was hell. It was hell, man. When I lost my comedy club and I was broke, it was hell. She was on me. She was doggy, talking slick.
Of course.
It wasn't just like she was. Now, when I started getting the IT and started making a few more dollars, she was like, well, I stuck with you. Stuck with me, but you was hitting me below the belt every 10 minutes, saying all type of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you say stick with a person, it's like, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it, you know,
yeah,
we can
exactly.
stay here.
Exactly.
Don't worry about the bills right now. I got it. I make enough money. You know, you just focus on getting your, you know, go study these books, IT books. In fact, you need me to help. That's holding somebody down.
Yeah, believing on the person.
Telling me,
fine.
You know what, I got men out here offering to take me on trips, and I'm staying with you, and you can't even do. Man,
no,
dude, I had to be so strong mentally, dude. Like, I had to kind of mentally shut down everything around me and just focus on. And people used to say, man, you're strong. It wasn't. I just had to shut off. She would say stuff, and I would just – I said, now, there was a time I would have went hit the ceiling. Like, you know, are you on my level? I mean, I just – man, you're just not on my level. Like, I actually had a chick tell me that. And I'm sitting like – but then you go to my comedy club. Then you come to my concerts.
Yeah.
You know me. You know what I got. You know who I am. You know what I'm made of. Don't come at me like that. But, see, they so here and now – it's not about – they'll see and say, okay, I know this guy's made all types of money. I know – I sat there and watched him. I saw him with checks. He showed me check stubs where he made all his money. But, you know, now that he's down, I'm talking about maybe he's not on my level. Like, really?
Okay. I hear that. Or the worst is when they go back to their friends and they say, girl, my boyfriend told me maybe, you know, I need to lose the weight. He should accept you the way you are. Yeah, I'm like,
see, Ricky Lake started that in the 90s, man, with all that accept
like,
you the way you are mess, man. Because Ricky Lake was big and she's always had those shows and it'll be a bunch of heavy women in the crowd and she'll be, he didn't want me because I gained weight. And then they'll be like, oh, and then the guy come out, they booing him. Boo, and I'm sitting like, y'all ain't the one had to stay up there with somebody for 50 years and you ain't even attracted to her. She walk around naked. You ain't want to look at her. You got her up and put your clothes on.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know how many people were reacting when they saw the, you know, what's the movie? That movie that was with the big girl that basically, what's the name of the movie?
Fat Girls of Shallow Hell.
No, not the a black girl that basically at the beginning of the movie, the guy's telling her, like, look, you'll take the – she goes to the plane with her husband, and then the person in the plane tells her, like –
oh, you're talking about Why Did I Get Married, yeah.
Yeah. No women were talking about that. Every woman was like saying, wow, you know what? He should have never said those things. And I was looking at black women, and one time I told them that the biggest issue in that movie was the weight. The girl let herself go physically and came to the point that when she went to basically try to get a nice thing, and the girls were like telling him, oh, girl, you just need to go get that thing. It'll be good for you, man. No girl basically told her, girl, you need to lose the weight.
Yeah.
And be good to your man.
But you know what? I mean, he was slick now. I wouldn't, that guy in that movie, the way he was acting, can't condone it. But the weight, surely the weight contributed to it.
Yeah,
and to sit up there and say, well, is he, you know, and Tyler Perry caters to women, so I mean, hey, that's his market, because brothers don't spend money like that, so I ain't even mad at Tyler Perry. He's making his money. But the thing is, the sisters don't understand when you step outside of that and say, well, baby, you done picked on 40, you know, you done picked on 60, 70 pounds. You weigh more than me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and I'm sure
wonder
that,
why I don't want to touch you sexually because I'm not attracted to you, but if I tell you that, I have to kill you,
yeah.
You know. And then you post these pictures, and see what's sad is guys like us will say, that's not right. But see, that same woman will post a picture on the Internet.
He's
looking so sexy.
With a six pack and everything, and you're like, so
All she got to do is have a big butt, and guys are gonna be so thirsty. They don't care.
Oh, yeah.
They don't see the gut. They don't see the big stomach.
Exactly. They don't see the person, the rolls and the fat in the back. They don't see all that. And you're like, and you look at the girl like, look.
And then you know that's the thing when we be on the show, people, man, you guys are so shallow. I mean, you shouldn't. I'm like, look, man, when I hear South Carolina talk. Okay, South Carolina has shut off sexually. Like, he just has no – there's just no way you can tell me that you have a – you know what I'm saying? Now, do you love your wife? Of course. You know what I'm saying? I still love my ex. I mean, she was a good woman, man, for other reasons. But I wasn't cool with that weight. Never would I say tell that lie and say I was cool with the weight because I wasn't.
Exactly. And
but she still – now, the problem is with my ex, she still looks nice. She's not – she's not one of those, she gained weight, but she had enough, she could afford to carry it around because she gained weight in the butt, her thighs. So she carried it in a good way. And we're in the South, so she'll put some tight jeans on and people, oh, man, oh, you know, that's how guys work. But I have been all over the world, so, she was like, call me uppity. But I'm like, well, I done seen the best of the best looking women in the world. So I'm not impressed with certain things that a lot of people in the South are. Even in the States, would be impressed by it because, because you're gaining weight, but you're gaining your butt or your,
And I truly believe we live in a society, if you tell the woman, oh, everything's going to be okay, because a lot of women say, you should just tell her everything will be okay. I'm like, if I do that, basically, that would be you tell me everything would be okay if I have no more money. And then girls are looking at you like, that's not the same thing. That's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. You expect
now,
a man to have a
the problem is though, like me, I'm in shape. I'm tall. I think I'm a nice looking guy. Come at me, like with such a disdain because they say that I think I'm something. Which I'm like, I work in the gym. I work out. But let a woman get down and she got a six pack. Let a woman, she wants all the. She's so self centered. It ain't even funny. Like women don't see. They'll turn around and call a guy arrogant. Call a guy this or call it. Like, no, I'm not arrogant. I'm confident in what I believe. You guys see that on the show. But
yeah.
I'm sure everybody on this show that speaks, if you crazy enough to pick up the phone and call a radio show, you're probably confident in what you believe. So you're going to be, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be called arrogant. You're going to be called this and that. You think you're this, you think you're that. But my problem, everybody nowadays, people think there's something for no real reason. Like, there's nothing spectacular about you, but you'll post some picture up and say, I'm fabulous. And I'm like, why? Like, I got into it with a guy, and he was like, I'm hating. And I'm like, no, dude, I just disagree with you on politics. I mean, I really don't have a reason to hate him. I don't even know you. But he kept taking personal jabs at me, and people, and because he's popular and a lot of people knew him, they would tell him, getting on his side. And it's really tragic, man. In the black community, we don't really have any true measurement of excellence. It's just you're fabulous just because you're –
you're
dressed a certain way. I'm fabulous because I'm like, well, do you own something? Like the dude I got into it with worked at a children's home in New York, and he tried to dog me out not knowing I knew his business. So I put him out there because I kept telling him, don't go there. Don't. So finally I went there and told him, look, dude, you work at a children's home, and you're trying to dog me out because I do IT. Like IT is just some little penny, like it's nothing. I'm not saying I'm a millionaire, but don't come at me like that. But our standards are so low right now because we got low self-esteem.
Yeah, it's true.
And there's a lot of black folks that just make up history. Yeah, black man invented the airplane. Black man invented – I'm like, look, man, we don't need to lie about black history. It's a lot of things black people did, true, and we more than you would think we did because 1/4 of this world is black. So I agree with you. But don't just make up everything to be – because I've just heard some crazy stuff, man. So –
True that. It's like that. The show I saw yesterday was so crazy. The woman was going out with a person who was in the army, trained and everything, and she was fat basically. And then when she decided to
to put herself to say, you know what, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to be in great shape. You know what the guy did? She left him because the guy was basically scared of her basically having the becoming better.
But why would you date somebody that if they become better, you're intimidated? That means you feel like it's something wrong with you.
Yeah. The girl was like
I know women. I've seen women beautiful, but they're fat. I'm dead serious. There's this one chick I know in Montgomery, real pretty. I love her, but she's fat. And I'm like, if she loses weight, that girl would be – I mean, you could just see it, like the bone structure. Even with a fat face, you can see, like, if this girl lost about 60, 70 pounds, she would
be
just a showstopper. Yeah. You can't tell them nothing.
Yeah. You got to want it. You can't tell her. Everybody's like, oh, well, you know, you should accept her for what she is. Like, what? That's what brought our society to be the fattest nation ever.
And see, I'm going to tell you something. I feel like women run, we got a reverse society. Our society is like not, it's kind of women-centric right now. It's female-centric. And if we don't reverse that, because the universe is about balance. But I don't care what religion, you can be an atheist, everybody sees balance is what sets. The universe works off balance. Your body has to be balanced. That's why it holds water when you don't get enough. That's why if you drink a lot of water, you'll urinate and your body will start releasing and you'll look like you got ripped up when really you're just drinking enough water where your body's balanced. And that's the problem with a lot of women. It's like they run America, they run the society, they run everything, and it's like but then they still complaining. So it's really kind of hurting our society. As a whole. Like the guy called up last week and was like, well, I mean, why does a man have to be the provider? Why can't a woman be? And I'm sitting like, well, man, I'm a man. I mean, I was wired this way. Like, I mean, that's like saying, why should a woman have to nurture kids? Because she has breasts. She lactates. She literally physiologically is made to nurture kids. I can't lactate and nurture. You could look, a woman can get pregnant, have a baby and go in the woods, and that baby is going to survive because she got breasts and she lactating. But if I take him in the woods, that baby, if I can't find the food to feed him, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So you can see the design of the human being. That's what I was saying about us being, I said, well, people are barefooted and they can run hundreds of miles. People didn't notice, but until they found people, there's a tribe in Mexico that can run hundreds of miles and they run practically barefooted. And they can run, like, and people that run these marathons can't run because they're wearing these shoes. We're already designed to run the way we're supposed to. And so when you talk about a man, we all got these muscles and strength, and our minds work the way it works because that is the most optimal way to form and run a society. And anytime you take a society out of balance and it's more feminine than it is masculine, then it's gonna turn on its ear, and that's what's happened here.
I agree. Anyways, I have to go. I have to finish some stuff on my website.
Man, I'm finna go into the gym, man. I was supposed to be working, man. I'm finna go into the gym a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna do this and everything. So, I want to ask you. I want to ask you one thing. When it comes to the weight loss and everything, not for me, for my girlfriend and everything, she seems to be eating right and everything, but the weight doesn't want to go. What do you think I should do more to do? I've tried P90X.
Well, how many times a day is she eating?
1, 2, 3. I think 4 times a day.
If she's eating 4 times a day, what time of the day is she eating? She's eating like from 8 to like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, around that time.
Tell her to try to get all her calories in a 12-hour window. Not in a 12-hour. Try to do a 14-hour window on her calories. Try to do 10 hours. That's including sleep, so tell her not to eat until, like, 12. Try not to eat until 12 noon, and then dinner by, like, 8 o'clock. And that's
okay,
really
so
what's
do,
that.
So do from
hours.
12 to 8? So do it
Yeah, just eat 12 to 8, and don't overdo it. It's called intermittent fasting. Don't overdo it. Weight comes off. In those 16 hours, shift, weight will just fall off. Also, I do vitamin B6 and B12 shots. I do those. They eat fat because they're fat-eating amino acids, lipotropic amino acids, whatever. They eat fat. I take those and light cardio. I mean, she don't have to do you know, 2 hours on the treadmill, but she can go in and do light stuff, like, you know, brisk walking, walking like 2 miles, which that don't take that long. You can walk that 2 miles in like 20 minutes, easy. Maybe brisk walking like 10 minutes a mile ain't bad. So
every
brisk
day?
Walk. Yeah, about that. I mean, 3-4 days. I mean, and it's something comfortable. Like, it's nothing that's hurting. Do that. Now, the easiest way to get it to come off is weight training. But women think first thing they do when they touch weights, I'm going to turn into a man. But they don't produce it. They don't have nuts, so they don't produce enough testosterone to even try to approach being a man. It takes years for a woman to even roughly look like a man. And even still, I know women that work out for years that are natural that still look very good. But in order for a woman to get all muscular in the face looking like that, then you have to get into some hormone treatment, which means you're on steroids. So most women can take weights and work out and be in good shape. Light weight training, which actually burns, you can burn in, I think, 45 minutes of weight training can burn up to 400 calories if you're going hard.
But the weight training, are you going heavy? Are you asking her to do set from 8 to 10, or you're asking her to do set from 12 to 15?
I would say 12 to 15 for endurance, and it burns. Like what I do something like called an iron marathon. Like people, they see me do it, they laugh, but they can't do it. Like a lot of people, they'll laugh at me. I'll be like, okay, do it. What I'll do is I'll get on the bench, right? Like tell her to get on the bench, grab the bar, don't put no weight on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do one rep, place the bar down. Do two reps, place it down. And go all the way up to 20 reps. By the time you get to like 8, 9, as a female, she's going to feel it. You know, guys, like I do this with like 145 on each side. I just go and I just do one rep. I do two reps. I do three reps. I do four. I go all the way up to 20. And that will burn. Like, it will burn your chest. Because, see, that's a compound exercise. What she needs to do is compound exercise. Don't do, like, iso exercises might be like just doing a curl. That really just works your bicep. That's good for aesthetics. But if you really want to burn some fat, do a squat rack. Squats working your core, your legs, your quads, your calves, hamstring, everything's working at one time. Your back, because you have to hold the weight stick. All of that stabilizing muscles, that helps increase the metabolism because you're using all those muscles to burn fat. And what happens is muscles may take more calories. Actually, this is the easiest way. If she don't want to do a lot of cardio, the easiest way would be just to increase her protein intake and just work out with some weights. It could be weight bands. It don't even have to be real weights. It could be just rubber bands, the bands. She can grab those and just do, 200 reps a day of as many exercises. That can turn out to be about maybe how many sets? Let's say 15 sets. At two, she's trying to do maybe 15 sets of 15 or something. That's around 200 reps, 215 somewhere in there. She do that, and the weight will come right off. Because she, first of all, and tell her not to rest in between each set. You listening?
Yes, I'm listening.
In between each set, tell her not to rest no longer than 45 seconds.
45 seconds, okay.
So she can do, so tell her to start off with like 10 to 12, because she's probably never done weights. She's going to probably be real sore. And another thing, when she starts, she's going to be sore. Tell her to fight through that. And probably start light, because start extremely. Like, you will be amazed how weak a lot of women are. Tell her to start real light, like maybe with 10 pounds, 10-pound dumbbells, doing crabs, doing curls, doing overhead raises, you know, doing overhead military press with 10 pounds. If she's playing with that and that's featherweight, move on up to 15. But I guarantee 15, most women are going to feel a 15-pound dumbbell unless you're talking about a He-Man or some big, huge chick that then you're going up to 20, 25. But now you're getting into what I work out with. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, and I'm not super strong, but because I don't want to be. I just want to look good. But, and that's what she's trying to do. And I would stay away from cardio and do a lot of weight training and not rest. And, man, I'm talking about, and do intermittent fasting. And I got ripped. I didn't touch a treadmill. But then I started going sitting in the sauna, too. You drink a lot of water and sit in that sauna, and it'll get a lot of water weight off you. So I didn't give you a lot of information. So.
Okay.
But,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. All right, man.
All right. Take care.
All right.